much about.
It's on. It's on. It's happening.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is happening.
Oh, you want... Okay.
It's happening right now. These are the first moments of what is happening right now. This is the beginning of what's happening right now.
You want to get your hands dirty?
Yeah, man.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
One, two, three.
Bad boy!
Four, five, six.
V.I.G. Ah!
That's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I need to go to the gym. I'm going to get diabetes if I don't go to the gym. I really feel like crap. I really do. I don't feel healthy like I did when I was doing MMA. I'd love to get back into the MMA scene. I really would.
Oh, this fellow's the feeblest excuse for a person I've ever heard of.
Yeah? Well, around here, we call that Wednesday.
And now.
Hey, guys. How's the vibe out here?
Everyone's super sad.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
Our feature presentation.
I gotta tell you, it's a weird way to test a mic.
Yeah, talk about your faults.
Pretend you're in a therapist's office.
Your deep, most secrets.
I don't like
and
my
I
life.
Don't think, I don't think I was loved as a kid. test, and I don't have any friends. Hello, check.
I don't feel well. I used to do MMA for like a week. I think that was good.
Who does that? By the way, my wife won't stop talking about how handsome Beer Mug is.
What?
And I can't abide that. She saw Beer Mug in a suit yesterday, and she said, wow, no one cleans up better than your boy.
Wow.
And I was like, but he's Beer Mug. And she's like, yeah, but look at him.
He's Beer Mug in a suit.
Chicks love guys in suits, we found out. Yeah. Not us, but other guys. They love other guys in suits. It's even the first thing Allie says when she comes in this morning is, I saw you guys in suits yesterday.
You were handsome, dapper gentlemen.
Well, that's an exaggeration.
No.
I think a suit is distracting enough to take your, you know, take your eyes off of all the obvious faults in a person, maybe.
And Wall Street. Yeah.
Yeah, right. So, yeah. Anyway.
Anything new, you guys? What's going on?
Well, you tell us, man. You've been holding down the fort. How was your big day off yesterday?
Oh, awesome. I Swiffered the house.
Oh, that does sound fun.
Yeah.
Euphemism.
Nope. For real. It's real.
Indeed.
So
hey, speaking of traveling, of course, I mentioned the suits because we were off yesterday at an industry event in Las Vegas, but we are back today with an all-new show. We'll tell you about it in a second. But speaking of traveling, there are a lot of ways that things can go wrong when you have to fly. Chip was just telling us the flight that she was on last night coming back from Las Vegas with the Beer Mug and with Lightning and with Dave and Christine and everybody. You ended up getting in, what, about 2 hours after you'd planned, right, Chip?
Yep. We got home around 10:30.
And it was... It was Beer Mug, right?
Totally Beer Mug.
I mean, no matter what they said, we know what happened.
They come up with a lot of different ways to delay flights. Sometimes it's because there's some sort of mix-up with what gate you're supposed to be at, and you got to wait. And sometimes you're, you know, like my flight, for instance, we were pretty delayed because we were fourth for takeoff, and then another plane was landing at the same time. And there's just all sorts of ways that things can screw up. There could be maintenance issues. Everybody was talking about an Alaska Airlines flight on Monday that left Seattle, bound for Los Angeles. This is flight 448, a flight I've taken many times before. They were gone from SeaTac Airport in Seattle about 15 minutes when somebody noticed that there was banging coming from underneath the floor of the plane.
Oh, banging. No.
The banging sound was a maintenance worker who had been trapped inside. Nope.
No.
Inside.
What?
Not. What were you thinking? Mile High Club in the bathroom?
Yep. Nope, you said
this was okay.
You said banging, so I was like, "All right."
Under the floorboard, this was a maintenance worker, a baggage handler, who had been trapped inside the cargo hold of the plane when the doors were closed and the plane took off. There's a dude underneath the floor of the passengers.
Do you think he was trying to get people's attention like while they were boarding and stuff and just no one was paying attention because there was too much?
No. He fell asleep, Kevin.
Oh.
He was a baggage handler who fell asleep in the cargo hold, and when he woke up, the plane was in the air.
That's
so he's
awesome.
He was
and by the way, some planes, I don't think this one, there are some planes I think that you can, there is actually a door that you can go down into the cargo hold from the inside of the, you know, the commercial part of the plane. But this was not the case. So the plane had to, not knowing especially what was going on, realizing something was going on down there, they turned the plane around and landed back in Seattle so that they could free the guy who'd fallen asleep down there.
If I fall asleep down there and I realize the plane's in the air, I seriously consider for probably 10 minutes, let's just shut up and get wherever we're going. Don't you?
Yeah,
don't you want to go, hey, I fell asleep down here? Like, isn't that the worst option?
Well, my first thought was, how cold does it get down there? Could he freeze?
Great question,
sure.
Allie.
Thanks,
it,
me.
It turns out that the cargo holds are temperature controlled and pressurized.
Oh,
so it was completely safe for him.
Okay.
Because, you know, they do transport pets.
Right.
So they have that. So it is safe. But, Kevin, what's the advantage of coming out of the plane in Los Angeles, though, for this guy?
Lack of embarrassment.
That's all. But they're still going to see you. They're still going to see you when they open the plane on the other end. It's not like you're going
right.
to get away with it.
No, I understand that. But I'm saying a couple of people see you, and they're probably baggage handlers. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Versus, like, first day?
Versus turn the plane around. And then they have to explain to everybody why they turned. I don't know. I just think, I think avoid embarrassment.
I wonder if there'll be – what the consequences will be for this guy.
Somebody bring me some goddamn nuts!
He admitted to falling asleep on the job. That can't go well for him. But
right.
He's probably getting some sort of reunion and probably can't get fired for that. But B, I mean, imagine the expense involved in turning a plane around, not to mention the inconvenience of hundreds of passengers on board. I wonder what's going to happen to this guy, if anything. He was fine, by the way. They did take him to the hospital to check him out, but he was totally fine.
Except for the fact that he passes out.
He fell asleep, dude. He didn't pass out. He fell asleep. By the way, when I moved to Seattle back in 1999, we flew our three of our four dogs. Donna drove up with Tater Tot, but we flew the other three up on an Alaska Airlines plane. And I was watching as they opened, you know, because you're terrified when your dogs fly. I was watching as they opened the baggage hold to bring the luggage out, and Santa's little helper had gotten out of her crate and was sitting there just wagging her little tail as they opened that door to the people. And I was like, oh, my God, are you kidding me? She's just wandering around in the cargo hold. She was fine. This guy's fine, too. So nothing but happy endings.
Yeah, you're going to have to mark that one down.
All right. That goes back to Allie's slipping her house.
Let's talk about today's Kevin DeBeecho, shall we?
Probably the less talk, the better.
We have Chris DeLeo in the studio talking about his comedy special on Netflix.
Very funny.
We have tickets for weekend two of Coachella.
Mm-hmm.
We have Catherine McPhee coming in the studio.
It's the return of the McPhee-ver.
From the TV show Scorpion,
mm-hmm.
which we love so much. And Adam Carolla as well with This Week in Rage. We will take a break and come back with the Showbiz Beat. That is Nick. We're playing that ironically, right?
Nope. That is the essence of Evan right there. That's what that is.
Hey, speaking of bands that won't be at Coachella, there's Evanescence, but if you want to go, weekend number two of the three-day sold-out Coachella 2015 at the Empire Polo Club, don't forget, we've got your tickets you can win this morning on the Kevin DeBeecho and all week long here on K-Rock. Ladies and gentlemen, Ralph Garman steps in.
Hi.
Wednesday morning, Kevin DeBeecho.
Hi there. Hi there, radio friends.
How are you, Mr. Garman?
I am tired.
How was your travel experience last night?
Smooth as glass.
Oh, that's good.
And as you know, I don't have that sort of track record when it comes to traveling.
Ralph's cursed when it comes to traveling.
Yeah, you should have been on Dave's plane.
Everyone else
late.
Yeah, everyone else caught the bullet this time. I was easy peasy. That's Southwest. You know how it is. You don't get the frills, man. But they move people.
They deliver.
It's just the bus of the air. As I like to call it, but man, they just are in and out on time. Boom. Hey, you got too many bags, asshole. We're going to have to check that.
Now sit down.
Yeah, get it. We're going to go. Come on.
Well, apparently Southwest was the way to go last night.
It was. I was in and out. It was great.
Well, thanks again for showing up for us yesterday, Ralph.
It was my pleasure. I know, we'll talk about it in the recap. Let's talk about it. Let's recap what happened at the Hall of Fame ceremony yesterday later in the show.
Okay.
There's some things I'd like to say.
All right, let's get into some showbiz.
About Bean and racism.
All right, good.
What?
No, I'm kidding.
I can't wait for that.
You know, instantly I was thinking back, what did I say?
What did I
say? No, it's a joke. Bean was not the least bit racist at the induction ceremony, which surprised all of us, really.
Yeah.
We expected more racism.
I was disappointed.
I know, I was too.
You.
Well, I guess he can still start the fire. Billy Joel announced yesterday that his girlfriend is expecting a baby this summer.
Yay!
File.
How old is she?
Well, Billy, let's start with Billy.
All right.
Billy Joel is a 65-year-old singer, songwriter, superstar. I mean, he may not be the most relevant performer anymore, but you have to remember, in the 70s and 80s and even the 90s, this guy was at the top of the pop rock music scene. You couldn't ask for a bigger star than Billy Joel. He still is, by the way, selling out Madison Square Garden on a monthly basis.
It's crazy.
So let's not underplay.
I know someone that
success.
Flew there last July just to see him.
Just to see him?
That's
you. If you're in New York, any month, you can see him. You went there?
It was me.
I thought you were talking about Ralph.
No, it was me.
I thought that was one of Ralph's trips. What?
I was in town and he was playing, I would absolutely go.
Yeah.
But I would not just fly to New York City to go see him.
Well, then you're not me.
No, I am not.
For a lot of reasons.
For a lot of reasons. First of all, penis. Alex
is
much
man.
Bigger.
You don't know, man.
It's huge.
So he's 65 years old.
Mm-hmm. Penis.
His girlfriend, Alexis Roderick, who, by the way, he said he wasn't going to marry because he was done with that. He didn't want any more permanent relations with women because he doesn't have a good track record.
Right.
Good. Have a baby with one. Most permanent relationship you can have. His girlfriend, Alexis Roderick, is, well, she'll be 34 next month.
Wow.
So she's 33.
Say 64?
She's 33. He's 65.
65.
Yeah.
All right.
So,
will he ever see the kid?
Well, they're together. I mean,
I know. He was pretty active in his kids growing up, even though he had multiple wives during their
This is his second child. Of course, he was father of Alexa Ray Joel with Christy Brinkley as well.
Right.
And so there, he's going to be a 65-year-old new dad.
All right.
That's going to kill him. He's not long for this. he's a goner. But it's so funny how he's very publicly said he wasn't getting married again. He didn't want a permanent relationship. And they were happy the way they were. But now it's just, now you'll never get her out of your life, Billy Joel. Well, look, he probably knows better than me how to live his life. Seems like a very happy man. But I don't know. Just people surprise me. They never cease to surprise me. Speaking of music and oldies... Percy Sledge has passed away, the legendary Percy Sledge. He was 74 years old, passed away from liver cancer. You probably know him best from his number one hit song, When a Man Loves a Woman. When a man loves a woman, deep down in his heaven.
One of the all-time hits.
If it's a man, you can leave her.
That's about my level of knowledge of lyrics right there.
I got When a Man Loves a Woman.
Yep.
The rest of it's sort of all hazy.
Then you're out.
Yeah. That was being a smash hit.
Great song.
Great song. Still a classic. He was inducted in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame in 2005. But he was also a very successful gospel and rock singer for a long, long time. Passed away at the age of 74. So today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Maisie Williams, she plays Arya Stark on Game of Thrones. She's just 18 years old today. Well, you're lucky, Bean. You're lucky. You had the right bell at the right time.
I waited.
Emma Watson's 25. Actor Seth Rogen is 33 years old today. Black Keys drummer Patrick Carney celebrates his 35th birthday. Ed O'Brien, guitarist for Radiohead, is 47 years old. And actress Emma Thompson celebrates her 56th birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla on the program later on this morning here on the Kevin and Bean Show with This Week in Rage. Also the beautiful Catherine McPhee is going to be joining us from CBS's Scorpion. Comedian Chris D'Elia and your tickets for Coachella less than 1 hour from right now. Hey, you know who I haven't heard much about lately is George Clooney.
Haven't heard much about him.
Yeah. Well, I know he's got Tomorrowland coming out. I've seen the trailers for that, and that looks awesome, by the way. But, you know, he was all over the news when he was courting and then marrying his wife, his now wife, Amal. But it seems like they've been pretty low profile since then. You don't see them on the circuit.
Does he live in Italy full-time?
I think he lives in Italy a lot. But, of course, you know, when he's making movies, he's got to go to wherever they are. But this story out of Italy in his new hometown there by Lake Como, it sounds like he's got a pretty sweet deal, but not necessarily interested in hanging out with his fans.
Well, I can imagine a guy with the fame like George Clooney, there would always be people there.
Yeah, worldwide.
Like he would be a tourist attraction for people coming to that part of Italy. Like they would try to go to his house to see him,
First of all, paparazzi all the time, and then fans all the time. I would think it would be a nightmare for a guy that's that famous. But this is odd to hear a mayor come out and say, hey, we're going to put a $600 fine in if you're caught on his property, or if you even say hi to him.
How about that?
That's pretty strong.
His name is Roberto Pozzi. He is the mayor of Laglio in Italy, and he has issued a new ordinance to protect Mr. and Mrs. Clooney's privacy and prevent people from bothering them while they are at their house, on their property. Apparently, their property is fairly accessible to the public, and it shouldn't be, according to the mayor. So, yeah, it's rare to see the government step in to help a private citizen like that. But we wanted to find out more about what the details are of this, because this seems like it could be a curious trend for celebrities. A lot of celebrities would like to jump on board and get this same thing. So we got Mayor Pozzi on the phone right now. Hello, Mayor. Thank you so much for coming on, sir.
Hey, how you do? How you do, Kevin and Bean? It's a pleasure talking to you.
Well, it's very nice to speak with you as well. This seemed unusual. I don't think we've seen a story much like this one before, sir.
Hey, listen. You listen up good, okay?
All right. Okay.
I want you to listen very carefully.
Okay.
We love George Clooney.
Right.
We love George Clooney so much.
He's a nice man?
He's a better than a nice man. He's the best man ever.
Okay.
And we love George Clooney here in Laglio so much that we do anything to make him happy.
Okay. But it's already illegal to trespass. Why do you have to single him out for some sort of a special law and a fine associated with his house?
Hey, what's the matter, you? Got you no respect?
No, well, he's saying the law sort of already...
He's a nicer place. Shut up, right. In your face.
Okay. Right. But you can't just trespass on anybody's property. Why does George Clooney get exceptional security from the government, I guess is what I'm asking.
Because George Clooney is the most talented, most handsome,
right,
most nice guy you ever meet. We love George Clooney so much that don't you bother George Clooney. Don't you even think about bothering George Clooney.
So you're afraid if people bother him too much, he'll move out.
That's right. And then we lose a Clooney.
Right.
We can't lose a Clooney. We love a Clooney so much. I love so much a Clooney.
Okay.
Listen,
okay.
Everything here we make for George Clooney. We want him to be so happy.
What does that mean, everything here?
Our theaters, local movie theater, cinema theater, only play George Clooney movie.
Oh,
24
okay.
hours a day we play George Clooney movie.
Okay.
We play Descendants. We play Three Kings. We play, not Batman. Not that Batman one. But everything else of him we play because we love George Clooney.
Right.
Hey, listen. We love him so much. You know, Lake Como, right here, Lake Como.
Lake Como, right? Yeah.
Lake Como. We changed the name.
From Lake Como?
Yes. To Lake 11.
From Ocean's Eleven?
We don't have an ocean.
Right.
That's the next best thing we have for him is a lake. So it's a Lake 11.
That's quite a tribute.
Hey, so much. We love so much. You know, the hospital here, the local hospital here.
Yes, yes.
Our emergency room, we call it ER. Well, how much we love George Clooney.
But isn't that all emergency rooms are ERs?
Shut up with your face.
That's a good point.
All right, Ralph, go ahead and mock. You've been looking forward to this all day. Go ahead and mock.
Listen.
We're not grown-ups. You can't expect us to show up to a grown-up event in a suit and behave like grown-ups.
Yesterday in Las Vegas, Nevada, at the NAB, National Association of Broadcasters Convention, Kevin and Bean were bestowed upon with the honor of being inducted into the Hall of Fame, which is for radio broadcasters is about as big as it gets. Such other luminaries currently in the Hall of Fame, Paul Harvey, Vin Scully, Steve Harvey, a lot of guys named Harvey. Harvey Corman, I think.
Harvey
in
Dent.
There. Harvey
Dent. I think he's in there.
Yes. Fictional Two-Face Harvey Dent.
Good pull, Kevin.
It's a strange choice, but they know what they're doing.
Rick Dees, of course, legendary Rick Dees.
Vin Scully,
as I mentioned.
Ronald Reagan. I mean, it's kind of an odd list, but yeah,
and
we're on that list now.
So anyway, as is my want, as is my default position, we've been making fun of this fact for some time now, leading up until even a few days ago when I played the top 10 moments in Kevin Bean history. Which
it's all of our default positions.
Right. And
they should have yanked that award right away from us after they heard our celebrity refrigerator interview with Phyllis Diller.
Right. And so we had a lot of fun with that, and I've been busting balls for some time, and I do it on a daily basis. And Kevin and Bean seem to get the worst of it from all of us when we make fun of people on the show here. But I have to say, being there yesterday and watching, having some perspective on what Kevin and Bean have accomplished in radio over the past 25 years in this market, it is unmatched. It is unparalleled. And a lot of people, and Kevin and Bean are very quick to give credit to other people. They're always talking about Jimmy and Adam Carolla and money and myself and... The only consistent thing that has been there for all 25 years of their career is Kevin and Bean. And to watch the retrospective of their careers and to see what they have built and put together, the two of them over the past 25 years, I have to tell you, I was moved and I was very proud of Kevin and Bean. And I have to tell you that I am proud to have been a part of it if the past 15 years or so. So well-earned, gentlemen, and congratulations. It was really a nice event yesterday.
But now you want to bust our balls about what?
But, no, nothing.
Having just said that.
Nothing at all.
That was very sweet.
I was glad to be there, and I couldn't have been prouder of you guys, really.
So they did this video beforehand where they had people who had worked with us in the past talk about us, and Lightning used to be our producer. But I think he's had an ass full of us. I mean, let's be honest. Lightning.
Well, you guys wrote him pretty hard back in the day.
It was rough.
I don't mean that in the best possible way. I mean that you just were mean to him.
It was rough times. And yeah. I think what he meant by saying this was that we surround ourselves with talented people. But what he said on the video was Kevin and Bean are always the least talented people in the room.
Yes, he did say that.
Yeah. And then he came back later in the video and he says something to the effect of, "But when you get up tomorrow and turn on K-Rock, you can't believe how old Kevin and Bean are."
No. He said they're incredibly old, but they sound like a couple of young guys talking about stuff that you care about. Don't get me wrong. They're ancient. But when you turn on the radio, they're going to sound very relevant and hip and young. They fool everyone that way. That was the essence of what he was saying. It's remarkable how they kid the audience into thinking that they're youthful.
Yeah.
Lightning was the guy, you got the impression that they put a gun to his head and made him, they forced him to say nice things about people he doesn't like anymore. So he just tried to do it in a backhanded compliment way as he could.
That's not true. Lightning was there yesterday as well, and he was also very proud. And it seemed like it was just this is your life, Kevin and Bean, basically.
It was.
You had our old general manager there, and of course our current program director was there.
Mr. Weatherby was there, represent.
And we're going to take up a collection and buy him a tie because it was sad that he can't afford a tie. That was sad.
I'll give him mine. I'm not going
to
use it.
Yeah, and Kevin and Bean were in suits, but it was worth the price of admission to be there just to see Kevin and Bean dressed up like grown-up people.
You guys looked amazing. First
Al,
of all,
you're very sweet.
No, look at the pictures. It's shocking.
They do look
good. How good you two look in suits.
They did look good.
What I want to call BS on, Ralph, because we've had this discussion many times with you over the years, and you talk about how you are at home. Like, wearing a suit for you is like wearing pajamas.
I like putting on a nice suit. Yeah.
Feel right. Kevin and I were miserable yesterday. We both had to go out and buy suits just to show up at this occasion. And we couldn't wait. Before we even left the venue, Kevin and I were in the bathroom 5 minutes after that thing ended, changing back into shorts and T-shirts.
Well, you two were in the miserable bathroom together taking your clothes off,
technically,
for you?
Technically, he was changing me and I was changing him.
Sure. Well, you are partners. You're partners in everything.
How is that a comfortable thing to wear, though, with that shirt all buttoned up
to
the top?
It's another couple and inches of cloth. That's all. It's the only difference between what you wear normally and what you don't wear is a few inches of cloth.
Wearing a suit is worse than waterboarding.
Oh, my God. You're such babies.
What about the fabric on your knees? That's BS, right?
Yeah. Can't bear with that.
That's a strange complaint, but okay.
What do you have, hypersensitive knees?
No, it's just that we're used to wearing shorts, and then all of a sudden you put those long pants on, you might as well be in a straitjacket.
Yeah, same thing. Pants and a straitjacket are exactly the same thing.
There is one thing that I did love, though, and that's that you always assume that whatever the next level is, they've got their S together. Like, they're organized and they know what they're doing. Sure, mm-hmm. We're winging it and we make a lot of mistakes and we're a disaster, but at the next level, they really know what they're doing. So the NAB, when they put an ad in a magazine, I think it was Hollywood Reporter.
Yeah, the trade paper.
I got Bean's name wrong, called him Gene Bean.
Gene Bean.
Right.
And said that it was KMOQ.
Mm-hmm.
So 2 out of 3. They got my name right, but 2 out of 3. So then yesterday, just before the event, they tweeted, "Congratulations to Kiss FM's Kevin and Bean."
Yes, that happened. That was for real.
Alan McKay screen capped that because she knew it would be taken down. And then
she's like, look at this!
She did the right thing and put it up. So
they don't really know you or care about you.
I don't think they have any idea who we are.
I don't know how this happened, Vin.
I don't
know who was the driving force behind this award, but someone in high
someone
places.
Someone paid off somebody.
Yeah, somebody put a gun to someone's head or wrote a big check or something, but you guys are the beneficiaries of that.
I got to ask you something else, Ralph. And Ali, I'm hoping that we'll get some video and some audio so we can share the ceremony with you and who wasn't there yesterday, and also the listeners who would be interested in seeing it. But I don't know how Kevin felt about this. I was terrified about having to give a speech in front of that room of 500 and something people or whatever. You have a lot of experience being up on stage. You've emceed a lot of things and you do a lot of, you know, events and everything, charity and stuff. Kevin and I don't do stuff on stage like that.
But you talk into a microphone every
day of
your life.
But this is very different than standing up on a stage in a monkey suit looking out at a crowd.
It's a whole different skill, I think.
It's related.
But you're doing it in front of – you do it every morning in front of a million people.
No, but I do it in this room with four people.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're both looking at me like I'm crazy about half the time.
Yeah, well, that's true.
And you guys walked up, correct me if I'm wrong, to a standing ovation, too.
Yes, there was a standing ovation.
Because of the lights, we couldn't really see the crowd anyway.
No, absolutely. There was a standing ovation from the moment they announced your names.
I was terrified to give the speech. I'm uncomfortable with that many people anyway. Obviously, there was a lot of pressure to, you know, not embarrass myself. And, of course, you know, Kevin's mom and his brother were there. His kids were there. My wife was there. My father was there. So you've got, you know, people that you're close to there. The last
Chief could have me killed if I went south on that speech, right?
And then I've got the additional worry of maybe I'll fall off the stage, and I got to be very careful about that.
We did put Bean in a harness, if that means anything, just to protect him.
I was terrified about becoming overcome with emotion as well, which happened just a little bit at the end. And that's a very embarrassing thing to kind of crack a little bit up on stage.
That is madness, Bean. I can't remember a moment where I felt more connected to you than at that moment at the end of the speech when you started to show that you are a human being.
Was that the shock?
I thought he was faking.
Bean's getting choked up, and there's actual tears in his eyes, and he is moved by this moment. I've never seen this before. I've never seen Bean moved.
I saw Bean cry or start to cry three different times in one day.
In the pre-luncheon, where there's 12 people having diet colas in a room the size of a photo mat, he got up in front of the microphone and started to get choked up.
Oh, Bean.
Here's the thing. It struck me yesterday. It's like, look, I'm a kid who grew up watching television movies, and all my life I wanted to do plays and be an actor and stuff like that. So for Bean, a kid who wanted to be in radio from when he was a little boy, to be inducted into the Radio Hall of Fame, it must be an overwhelming experience.
Yes, it was overwhelming. And I almost couldn't enjoy it because I was so embarrassed about potentially cracking.
Well, you did, and it humanized you and made people realize that you were not the android that everyone thinks you are.
For the first time, people realized that maybe you're a human being.
There's a heart beating in there somewhere. And you both acquitted yourselves brilliantly on stage. Both of your speeches were funny and heartfelt and well-written and well-put-together, and you touched all the bases, and really, I was very impressed by the work that both of you
did. Why don't we do Honk for Meat anymore?
Because it's a stupid, silly thing.
That was the greatest thing that we've ever done.
I love what Kevin
did bring that up in the speech.
Honk for Meat.
He referred to the show for 25 years as a beautiful disaster.
Well, I mean,
and it dawned on me. I was sitting there. He's like, he's right. Everything we do is based on our failure.
Right.
Everything we talk about is how bad we are at this and how bad we are at that. And let's make fun of this person for being bad.
Talking about how bad we literally are.
We walk the walk.
Yeah, we
don't just talk failure. We fail right in front of your eyes.
The key is to learn to enjoy that and be entertained by it because we don't have any other option.
Right,
we fail.
Right. It's so not like we come in here and we go, well, we could put on a good show or a bad show. Which one do you want to do? No, the only option we have is the bad show that you get every morning.
For 25 years, you've just been failing up, gentlemen. Congratulations.
That's it. Congratulations to us. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:52.
Kevin, if you had any guts, you'd go back to Coachella this weekend, dude.
Yeah. Pussy.
Seriously, one weekend's enough for you now?
No.
What happened to Kevin I used to know?
With a little Vegas in between? Yeah, a little Vegas sandwich with Coachella bread?
Here's what happens to me is I go out there last weekend, and then I stay out late Friday night. I go out Saturday, stay out really late Saturday night. I have a great time Sunday. And then I have to drive back and do the show here. And Monday, I think, you know, I might die. And then Tuesday, I start to think, yeah, but it's still 3 days away.
You're really thinking about it.
And then today, I go...
I'm ready.
I'm ready to go.
That's right.
Well, we could ever... here's the interesting thing. You could go to the second weekend and see everything different.
That's right.
Do a whole do-over.
It's a brand new experience.
All different things.
That's right. Well, Coachella 2015 weekend number two is sold out, but we have tickets for you to earn right now. If you want to call, we'll put you on hold for a couple minutes, and you'll play a game at 1-800-520-1067. If you want to win free Coachella tickets from K-Rock, call now. It's Wednesday morning. Ralph's here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Yeah, this is a hot fudge holy moment.
Yeah!
Hot fudge holy moment! What's going on? Hot fudge holy moment! I'm going to have some fun!
What's going on with Dennis Quaid? Hot fudge holy moly!
Going with Dennis Quaid.
This new viral video of him going ballistic on a film set, a la Christian Bale.
Oh, I haven't seen that.
Yeah, but it was all over the internet this week, and people are speculating that it might be too good to be true. That maybe it's a fake.
It's like hoax. They're advertising by doing
well,
it?
Well, no one knows.
Oh.
But no one can get any sort of confirmation on this tape one way or the other. Jimmy Kimmel was accused of being behind it.
He's accused of everything.
First thing I thought.
Every internet hoax seems to be people look to Jimmy first. But he threw up his hand and said, this is not me. He said, I don't know if it's real or not, but it's not me.
Okay.
So this is the video. It's Dennis Quaid on a film set going ballistic. And it looks like it was shot on somebody's camera. We had to bleep out a lot of it.
Okay.
But here's the audio of Dennis Quaid losing his mind on a film set.
What the f***? Keep going. I am acting here, and this head wanders onto my set. I can't even get a line out until Toby the starts whispering in your ear, and you're not even watching anymore.
Dennis.
Don't f*** Dennis me. I am doing my job here. I am a pro. This is the most unprofessional set I have ever been on. This is horse s***. I've got these zombies over here that I have to look at. I have a bunch of staring at me and this baby. This is garbage. Me.
That sounds a lot like Christian Bale.
Yeah.
It don't
does.
You think,
it
like,
does.
If somebody
Very
were to go, hey,
similar.
Let's... Yeah, I mean, somebody walks on my set.
What's your take on this, Ralph?
My gut tells me it's fake.
Yeah, it sounds
Mine
fake.
Too.
It sounds fake.
It sounds fake to me, too.
Because, and not just I mean, the anger, certainly you could think that would be real. But the language in it, mm-hmm. I'm acting over here, and I'm a pro, and it just sounds... stage to me.
And part of it, I think, and we don't pretend to know these celebrities, is that I've never heard a bad word about Dennis Quaid. This just seems so out of character for him, too.
Why would he hate a baby that much?
He hates that baby.
I
don't think it's an actual
he was
baby.
Really
that,
mad at
I
that
do
baby.
Not,
so mad.
Excuse me.
What?
I do not believe it's an actual baby on the set. He's referring to someone behaving like a baby.
Oh. Got it.
I don't know. Sounds fake. Sounds fake to me.
And Dopey the D, he calls that one guy, just seems... thought out. No. It seems pre
meditated.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Oh, jeez.
Kevin.
I have to finish Ralph's sentence. It's so embarrassing.
You put him
days.
In the Hall of Fame. He gets super smart. It's like Flowers for Algernon.
I don't know what that means.
They gave Kevin a pill yesterday, and everything's been different ever since. So I guess we'll wait and see whether Dennis Quaid really lost his mind. Maybe he's just trying to take some heat off his truly crazy brother
nah.
who keeps humping his wife wearing pictures of Rupert Murdoch on the internet. So
his brother is crazy.
Yeah, so maybe Dennis like, Full I'm going to see if I can get some heat over here and give Randy a chance to escape. Over here, look over here! This is tragic, sad, and scary news. Actress turned reality star Tori Spelling was at Benihana on Easter Sunday in Encino, California, when, according to witnesses, she slipped and fell onto the grill at Benihana.
Dude.
How? I can't imagine. Have
was
you been to a Benihana?
Yeah, was she standing on her chair?
Yeah. How would that even happen?
I mean, you're the falling expert. How would that happen?
Think she passed out? Did she stand up and lose consciousness?
Look, the first thing I thought when I saw it was Tori Spelling was she just passed out drunk. That was just my guess.
But how do you fall onto the
grill? Boy,
yeah.
I don't know. Boy, I don't know.
I hope they flipped a shrimp into her hat, though.
Stop it.
No?
That's a good point. That would have been awesome.
Awesome.
Made
and then everybody's
made a volcano
right?
out of
volcano!
Her.
Volcano!
This is not funny, people.
No, it's not funny
Wait,
at all.
Wait, is she all right?
No, she was rushed to the hospital and may need a skin graft.
Oh, then it's not funny.
Wait, face first into
it? It doesn't say which way she fell. But apparently she was seriously burned. So
I take back the shirt.
Yeah.
So you know, we didn't bring it up this time with Steve Aoki when he was in on the Monday, but his dad was the founder of Benihana.
Mm-hmm. What the
that's,
what?
That's his dad's business, yeah. And his brother is a successful restaurateur, as is he. He has a number of restaurants as well. It's kind of the family business.
Son of a bee. Son of a biscuit. Those guys just get everything. They're just
I feel like
yeah,
we
Martin
just got way off track.
Yeah, we did. Tori Spelling Me was like, hey, over here. Third degree burn. How about a little something, something? A little less Aoki, a little more salve.
Let me tell you about the history of Benihana.
Ah, I wish I had died. That's what Tori Spelling is saying to herself now. And lastly, congratulations to Billy Joel. The 65-year-old singer-songwriter is going to be a new dad. His girlfriend of, I don't know, 6 years, I think they've been dating, since 2009. His girlfriend, Alexis Roderick, will be having their baby this summer. She is 33 years old.
Okay.
Billy is 65 years old. Billy's other child, Alexa Ray, she's 29 years old.
That's awfully close.
His girlfriend's 33 age. And his daughter's 29.
That's weird.
So, I mean, if I was Billy Joel, I'd be scared that your girlfriend is that much younger because only the good die young. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
She's got a way, I'm sure, about her. I'm sure she's always a woman to Billy, but I'm just saying, you know, you think you know someone. Turns out they're the stranger. You don't know. You don't know. And now he's going to have a child with her? Well, you can say goodbye to Hollywood, Billy, because you're going to be stuck there in New York for some time in that New York state of mind. You're going to be there raising that kid. You think you're a big shot?
Come on.
You may
That's
be right.
Bullshit.
Don't ask me why. It's a lot of pressure when you're a dad, and she may be an uptown girl, but for the longest time, you're going to be raising that kid, and you're going to have to tell her about it someday.
How what the hell?
You and her mom got together. I know you're only human, but honesty. It's the only advice I can give you.
Billy Joel song title.
Standing O!
No one said standing. You can't say standing O for yourself, can you?
Well, if no one else is going to, who will? Today's celebrity birthdays. Macy Williams, Arya Stark on Game of Thrones is 18 years old today. Emma Watson is 25. Seth Rogen turns 33. Patrick Carney of Black Keys is 35. Ed O'Brien from Guitars for Radiohead, he is 47. And actress Emma Thompson, she's more than an actress, she's a screenwriter and a director as well, 56 years old. I'm Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
It's all about Coachella, weekend number two, happening this Friday at the Empire Polo Club in Indio. Of course, this has long been sold out. If you'd like three-day passes, you can call us right now at 1-800-520-1067. But you'll have to earn them with a game that we call Real Band, Fake Band.
Fake band, real band, fake band, real band.
Or that.
Pick the real one, I don't think that you can. If you do, you'll strike gold. But if you don't, you're just an a-hole.
That's true.
That is true.
All right, phone lines are packed, Kevin. What are they going to be listening for this time around?
I am going to read three band names. One of them is real. And
one of them is an actual band that's playing actual Coachella this actual weekend.
Yes, that's correct. Okay. You just have to tell us which one is correct. We start with Chad in Montclair. Hi, Chad.
Good morning, guys.
All right, you ready to play Fake Band, Real Band?
Yeah.
All right, here are your three bands. Chet Faker, New Squids on the Dock, and Flem Fatale.
Which one's the real Coachella act?
Chet Faker, New Squids on the Dock, Flem Fatale.
Flem Fatale.
Ooh.
Sorry, it's Chet Faker.
Chet right. Faker, yeah. Thank nice you. Try, though. Thank you for playing anyway. Let's move along to Robert Pasadena, line two. Let's see if he can get his way into the drawing for Coachella tickets.
Hey, Robert.
Hey, good morning, guys.
All right, fake band, real band. Here you go. Peter and the Test Tube Babies, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Root Boy Slim and the Sex Change Band.
That's a tough one.
Peter and the Test Tube Babies, St. Paul and the Broken Bones, Root Boy Slim and the Sex Change Band.
The second band?
St. Paul and the Broken Bones is correct.
That is correct. Great band. By the way, Kevin, band number three is a real band also, you know.
Is it?
Oh, yes, no. But they're not Plague this weekend, but they are also a real band. So that was potentially confusing there.
Okay, that throws me way off then, because now that means my list is funny bands, not necessarily fake now. Bands. All right, here we go. Let's try again. Let's go to John in Chino. Hi there.
Hey, how's it going?
All right, here are your three bands. You ready?
Cool, ready.
Built to Spill, Shoot the Mime, A Box of Fish. Built to Spill, Shoot the Mime, A Box of Fish.
The first one?
Built to Spill,
yes.
Is correct.
Well done.
Nicely done.
All right, you are in the drawing, sir, for Coachella tickets, weekend number two. Up next, I think we're going to go with Eric, Canyon Country. Eric, thanks so much for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. Listen up.
All right, you ready your bands?
Yep.
Claude Van Stroke, Attila the Fun, John Vomit.
That sounds like a triple bill, man.
Claude Van Stroke, Attila the Fun, John Vomit.
I'm going to go for the second band.
Attila the Fun, I wish. It's Claude Van Stroke. Thank you.
Thank you for playing, Bill.
That's tough, man. That's a tough game.
We're playing a fake band, real band for Coachella tickets. Up next is Richard. He's in Santa Clarita.
Hey, Richard.
Hey, how's it going?
Good, thank you. Are you ready for your bands?
Yes.
Iron Liver, Kick-Ass Emily, Yell. Iron
what
Liver.
Was the third? Oh, sorry.
Iron Liver, Kick-Ass Emily, Yell.
Iron Liver.
No, sorry, it's Yell.
Thank you for the call. Steven up next. So far, only two in the drawing, by the way. Steven's in L.A. He's on line six.
By the way, this is an impossible game for me as well. I mean, it's impossible to know which ones are real. Hello?
I mean, when there's a real act called Flostradamus, you realize that people are just making stuff up.
Yeah. Steven, are you there?
Yeah, hello?
I don't know what's happening in the back.
What are you listening to, man? You're in a fight with your girlfriend? What's happening here?
Mom.
Hey! Mom, I'm trying to win Coachella tickets.
Your mom's a dude. All right. Here are your three bands. The Night Terrors of 1927.
Oh, he is correct. He knows that band.
Jim Jones and the Kool-Aid Kids and the Microwavable Tree Frogs. All right.
Congratulations. Thank you, Stephen. You're in the drawing.
Read them.
Let's do one more. Gabrielle will be our final contestant from West Covina, line seven.
All right. Hi there. You ready?
Yep.
Fake band, real band. Meg?
At
least I didn't read that. The fake third one twice in a row.
Hello?
Maggot Sandwich, Till the Ribbon Breaks, Microwavable Tree Frogs.
The first one.
Maggot Sandwich.
No. I'm sorry. That's
Till
not
the
right.
Ribbon Breaks is the right one, yeah.
Thank you for playing, Gabrielle. We appreciate it anyway. Steven, John, Robert, they all were able to identify the real band among the fake bands. One will win tickets for this weekend at Coachella 2015. Allie, who's our winner, please?
The winner is Steven.
Steven! Congratulations, Steven.
Woo!
You got passes for this weekend's Coachella, and thanks for playing the game.
Always excited to welcome Chris D'Elia back to the Kevin and Bean Show. He, of course, one of the stars of NBC's Undateable, Tuesday nights at 9. He also has a brand new Netflix comedy special called Incorrigible, debuting everywhere this Friday. Chris D'Elia is back.
Hey, I'm
Chris.
Here.
How are you, man?
Good. How are you guys doing?
Very good. Thank you.
Doing great. Good to see you again. I see you've been a busy guy. They had you in the audience of The Voice this week. Yeah. What was that like?
Good. Good. It was cool, man. It's always surreal to go to one of those shows that you've seen a bunch of and then just to sit in the audience. It's so weird because it's like so big and those fans are so crazy.
Yeah, I always think it's weird, and I guess I started noticing this back when whatever network has the Super Bowl would always bring out their stars and make them go to the game so that they could be seen on camera for 2 seconds. And I always wondered if the actors involved – the Super Bowl maybe most people would like to go to. But, like, did they have to drag some of your castmates to go to The Voice, like, who really weren't into it? They forced them to do it?
I don't know. It's so funny. I mean, nobody didn't want to go. We were like, oh, yeah, that'll be cool. You know, and we love each other, so we're like, yeah, we're down for whatever, you know. And it's very close to all of our homes, so I don't think that we were dragged out.
That helps.
That definitely helps.
And then the other thing I saw you on TV doing since the last time we had you in was the Justin Bieber roast.
Oh, yeah. Yep. Mm-hmm.
I am so excited to talk to you about that. Take me back to the beginning. How they called you and said, you in? You said, Bieber, I'm in.
Yeah, Comedy Central. You know, I'm not really a roast guy, and that's just not my style. And so I mean, I love making fun of my friends and all that, but, you know, if I don't know the people, then I feel kind of weird about it.
Right.
Especially if it's people that I've been watching my whole life, like Shaq and Snoop Dogg, like, which were on the roast as well, and Martha Stewart. But Comedy Central asked me to do it, and I was like, you know what, I know Justin, and if I'm going to do one, it would be this one.
You know him or you know of him?
Oh, no, I know him.
You know him.
Yeah. And so I was like, okay, I'll do it, you know, and see what it's like. And I had a really good time doing preparing for it. Like, I had a lot of fun. I really got into the spirit of it. And then when I did the show, I was just – I don't mind what people say about me, but I felt like – I was like, I hope that I don't hurt their feelings. You know, like I was up there I was up there waiting to go on. And I felt like my stuff was a lot like – I don't know what the word is, like harder?
Harsher?
More cruel?
Harsher, yeah.
Harsher, yeah.
And I was like, oh, man, I think, I hope, like, mine's not too mean. You know what I mean? Aww. I was like, but this is what I had. And so,
isn't that too mean on a roast, though, Chris?
I mean, I know you're supposed to kind of be mean, but I don't know. It's just not really my style. I'm not mean, you know?
Plus, I would think you would, even if it was your style, you wouldn't want to come off as anywhere near, like, way more mean than everybody else. You want to sort
of
be
of
in
course.
Keeping
yeah, yeah.
the other
and
people
so,
vibe. Yeah.
But I don't know. I just did it. And then some of the jokes I did, like I did an ISIS joke or
Let
two.
Me play that joke because I had that. Okay. I want to talk about the, you got some heat from this joke. Again, this is Chris D'Elia on the Justin Bieber Roach on Comedy Central.
Baby is the most hated video online, like statistically, if you check that out, okay? And there are also ISIS videos online, okay? That means that someone saw a video with a guy screaming death to America and sawing someone's head off and thought, nope, still not worse than Bieber featuring Luda in a bowling alley.
Which is a very funny joke.
I think that's funny, yeah.
It is funny. Tell me about the fallout from that joke.
People just were like, you shouldn't name, you shouldn't, on Twitter, you shouldn't mention ISIS. It's not funny. It's not a joke. And it's like, it's funny. It's funny when you make a joke about something like that. Like, people treat you like you're the one cutting people's heads off. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Right.
And it's just like,
you stepped over the line.
Yeah. I'm, it's not like this doesn't happen. You know, I'm just trying to make light of the situation because I'm a comedian.
Right. And you're comparing something that's just a music video to the worst thing in the world.
Yeah.
That was the joke.
Yeah, exactly. And people don't like that. But, whatever. You know, it's like, you, as a comedian, you have to find where that line is. That otherwise, you're just, everything's going to be too safe and eventually not funny.
Let me ask you about the difference between doing a roast that's on TV and being in a comedy club. Because it does seem like you can get away with almost anything in a comedy club still. Maybe that's the last bastion of freedom.
Yeah.
But when you go on TV and everybody sees it, maybe they don't have the same sensibility.
Well, you know, they always want to know what you're going to say, and you have these standards and practices. But the comedy club is the sacred, you know, thing there. When that's my favorite. That's why I like to just perform at a club. And I always say, you know, if people, come see me live, really is the thing, or go see anyone live. You know,
right.
It's just that there's nothing like that experience.
And don't tape them with your cell phone and put it on the internet.
That drives me nuts.
Don't do that.
Because you got to go on stage with your jokes the first time, and sometimes they're not going to be good. And even if they are funny and people think they're funny, they're not ready. You know, and that's kind of. That's kind of the thing now that at clubs that's really kind of like really kind of annoying, and I wonder if there was something to do.
What Napster was to the music business.
Yeah.
And that's what it is to the comedy business.
Yeah.
Is people taping your act and taking stuff out of context.
But it helps with music and it doesn't help with comedy. You know,
right.
Like
definitely
if
doesn't
you
help. Yeah.
You know, if you get the song out there, that's good, and then people want to download the song, and people want to download the song illegally, but they also want to download it legally. But there's nothing like that for a comedian. If you're just working on your joke, you're not making money off of it if people are downloading it. They're just like looking at it on YouTube, and then they want some more stuff from you.
How often do you change a joke up? So in other words, like if they tape it and put it on the internet, you go, well, that wasn't done. Is it ever done?
Yeah, it's done when you record it. You know,
okay.
Like for instance, my special coming out on Friday for Netflix is called Incorrigible. I shot that on December 13th in L.A. at the Wiltern, and after that, I didn't do any of those jokes anymore.
And you just won't because of...
It's just done. I feel like I documented it and it's coming out. And, you know, I think maybe once, maybe twice since then, I did one of the jokes. But just because I needed to fill time and I was on stage and it came up or something.
Right.
But, yeah, legitimately only once or twice. It's just boring for me. If I know I have it documented, then I got to do new stuff.
Yeah, you should be allowed to decide when it's ready for the world.
And that's the thing. Like in January when I'm touring and I'm trying to figure this stuff out, if people are taping it and putting it online, then, you know, It's a bummer.
It's not the finished product.
No good. Yeah. Let me ask you just one more thing about the roast, Chris, because I am so fascinated with this. And we talked about the heat you got for the Icy joke. So there was Paul Walker jokes that night that Comedy Central kind of stepped in and said, no, we're not going to allow that on TV. Did they make the right call?
You know, that's up to them, man. And if they think that's the right call, then I think that, that's the right call for them. The whole thing is their production. Here's the thing for me that I can say is that I didn't do any Paul Walker jokes, but I thought about it and I decided, you know what, I'm not going to do it for a bunch of different reasons. Because the thing is, I if my whole thing is if I were to if something were to happen to me, I would want people to joke about it because
and we would.
Yeah, you know, and I appreciate that because to me that's how I deal with things, and that's how my family deals with things, and that's how a lot of people deal with things, and it's kind of not, you know, I understand there are people that are close to people that happen when tragedies happen, you know, and they don't want to hear jokes,
right?
But if you're doing something that's supposed to be humorous and that's how a lot of people deal with it, you know, and look, Pete Davidson, who's on the show, he did jokes about his own father dying in 9/11.
Yeah.
And that's how he deals with that, you know, and who are we to judge that that's how he should deal with it or not? I mean, that's how I feel. I don't know. If something were to happen to me, fire away.
Chris D'Elia is here. We're hoping something happens to him soon so we can have a lot of laughs at his expense. But in the meantime, Undateable airs Tuesday nights at 9 on NBC, and we'll talk about that and also some more about the new Netflix special debuting everywhere this Friday called Incorrigible. More with Chris in a moment on K-Rock. Actor, comedian Chris D'Elia in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show. He has a brand new comedy special coming out on Friday called Incorrigible.
That's right.
By the way, I mentioned your stand-up. When you're doing your little Undateable show over there on NBC, your whole cast is stand-ups pretty much,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, four of us, yeah. And it's wild, man. I mean, it's
you must always be trying to top each other because I know you do a lot of ad-libbing when you tape that thing.
Yeah, it's more – it's less – I mean, we do – try and top each other, I guess, but it's less that and more just, I mean, we all have our own style and we kind of like we're actually really good at passing the ball. I know it seems like, you know, maybe we would have our own agendas and our own egos, but it's honestly, I sound so corny saying this, man, but it's such a pleasure going to work every day.
No, you know what? It's weird from doing the April Foolishness shows and stuff like that. Comedians are one group of people who really, they don't want you to fail.
Yeah,
they
usually we have, I mean, we have this like camaraderie and usually it's like, you know, we've all come up in the same place, literally, like in the same buildings. So you see each other bomb and you see each other do well. And, you know, I think most people that have any sort of start to get any sort of recognition and real success kind of like want people to succeed. Most.
You know,
there's always that one weird one.
And I also think you have, I mean, you kind of have that, not to compare comedy to war, but you do kind of have that we've all been through the same thing kind of thing in common with one another.
Yeah,
too.
Like, I mean, look, when there's four comedians on the show, and if there were three other actors in me instead of four comedians, then it would be, you know, we identify with each other in that way.
Right, exactly. Before we talk about the special, let's talk about the upcoming live episode of Undateable. Now, about once a season, it seems like a show decides we're going to do a live show. And I always think, boy, I hope it's not my show if I'm on a show. Because that does not sound like a treat.
Yeah. I don't know the last time they did it, but I know that this is the first time that any multi-camera sitcom has done it for an hour. We have an hour-long show. And I think that they only did that because there's no way with the four of us improvising and messing up that we're going to be able to fit it into a half an hour. Yeah.
Is your show, because of that, going to be radically different than what we see on a regular basis?
I don't know. I look, I'm telling you right now, there's no way we're not going to mess up and laugh. So I think the fun thing about it for at least the fans, and even if they're not fans of the show, is to see us try and cover.
And that's kind of what they bank on with these live shows. People that maybe have never seen the show before tune in, they hope someone messes up, and then you've gained a whole new audience because they feel like they're watching actual humans instead of actors.
It is strange to have an audience actually root for you for disaster.
Yeah. Dude, I mean, we mess up all the time on stage as comedians that I think that I'm not really nervous. I just think it'll be funny and fun, you know?
Who's most likely of your cast to accidentally swear on live TV?
Oh, that's a good question.
That's a possibility as
well. Probably me.
Yes?
Yeah, probably me, yeah. But I don't think I'm pretty sure I won't.
yeah, what the episode is about? And I asked that to say, are they going to just have to keep you in the bar for an hour?
You can only
change locations if it's live.
I guess you could if you go to a commercial. You can maybe move over to the house or something.
True.
But I think it'll probably be mostly in the bar. I don't know what the episode is about. Our writing team is awesome. They just do everything last minute. So it's on May 5th.
3 weeks, May 5th. So that's like 3 weeks away.
We literally have no script. And excellent. Matter of fact, they emailed us the other day and said, hey, you guys, we're about to write the script. If you guys have any ideas, just shoot them on over.
Does that fill you with confidence or dread?
I just think it's funny. Whatever.
I think that's what you want from your writers is, hey, you guys got any ideas?
Yeah.
That's Undateable May 5th. It airs Tuesday nights at 9 on NBC. All right. Incorrigible.
Yeah.
You shot it in Los Angeles in December.
Right.
It's going to Netflix, which is awesome, by the way, because they can't take your jokes out, or they won't, right? Isn't Netflix? That's what we keep hearing from so many people that come through these doors is they go, man, Netflix just lets you do whatever you want, and they just put it up.
Yeah, well, it's just a different way of doing things now that I feel like is the way to do things because, you know, it's like the internet came out. Now everybody is like, oh, I could just watch whatever I want to watch on the internet whenever I want to watch it.
At any point, right?
And Netflix kind of figured out a way to do that with TV. And it's just, look, I did I've done specials for other networks and, you know, you got to figure out how to make it 42 minutes for the commercials and the hour. And for Netflix, they were like, yeah, we want you to do an hour of stand-up. And I did 83 minutes and I just made it 83 minutes, and that's fine. You can watch it on Netflix.
Wow, that's,
you know,
must be freeing for you.
Yeah, I thought I was going to do maybe 70 minutes, and it ended up being 83 minutes, and I just put it out as 83 minutes.
I feel like at the 82 minute mark, I would go, I'm going to keep going. I'm going to see how long I can. I'm going to test this company.
That is what I did, and
see
then
what
I did.
Put up with.
And then I did one more minute.
Chris, if I had to come to a young stand-up comedian, Chris D'Elia, a number of years ago when you started and said that you would do 83 minutes, would you have been amazed by that you would have that much material?
Yeah.
Because I bet there was a time in your career where you struggled to do 10 minutes.
Honestly, up until about – I've been doing stand-up for about 9 years, and I think up until about 2 years ago – I was – every time I had to do an hour, I was like, man, this is long.
Up until 2 years ago?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, I would just – and I had shot my special already, my first special, and I was doing an hour. But it was just – it always felt like an hour was a long time, and now it doesn't at all. But yeah, it would just – because I'm a big believer in just because – look, I would watch comedians crush for 2.5 hours before. But I'm a big believer in just because people are sitting there for that long doesn't mean they want to be there for that long, even though they're laughing.
Right.
I mean, we tape our show. It's 4.5 hours on Undateable, and I'm always like, why are they staying?
Wow. How do you feel when you watch back your special, when you watch yourself on stage? Are you able to enjoy it, or are you hypercritical?
I have to edit it, and I like my jokes, and I think I say them because I think they're funny. So I think they're funny, and when I watch it, I'm not too hypercritical because I'm like, whatever. I put it out there. That's how it's going to be, and I can't do anything about it now, really.
So you don't think I wish I would have come up with this punchline?
No,
because that would
and that's another reason why I stopped doing the jokes, because I don't want to figure out better parts that I get upset about. Oh, man, I should have, you know? When I'm done shooting it, I'm done doing the jokes. But yeah, I don't know. I I'll tell you what. If I watch my first special, I don't like to watch it anymore because I feel like I'm beyond that, you know? And I'll be like, man, I should have done this, should have done that. But this one now is the current one, and I don't feel that way about this one.
You will love this special until you make the next one.
Yeah, exactly.
And then all of a sudden, this one will suck.
Well, I have a new hour now that I'm doing on the road, and it's totally different than what I did in Incorrigible, and it's me – you know, it's a little older, and it's me a little older. It's like sort of the next step and who I am, and I always want to do that.
Years ago when Jerry Seinfeld talked about coming up with that a new hour, it just seemed like it was the most difficult thing.
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like that is the truth for everybody.
It did seem that way when he was doing that documentary and when he said, I'm going to retire my hour, and it did seem like it was a really hard.
Is it hard for you, or does it take that long? Or?
Here's the thing. I love doing stand-up, and I go up all the time, every night almost. Well, yeah, sometimes twice a night. And if I – like, for instance, when I shot my Incorrigible thing, I didn't do any of those jokes anymore, but I still wanted to go up. And I wanted to go up, and I would sometimes mess with the crowd, and and sometimes I would take an idea and turn it into something, and sometimes I wouldn't. But that forced me to get all new stuff. And at this point, 4 months later, yeah, I have a whole new hour. So,
well, you definitely keep those muscles working, man. That's impressive. Oh. Let's hear a clip before we say goodbye to Mr. Chris D'Elia. The special is called Incorrigible. It's available on Netflix this Friday. Very funny stuff. Check it out.
I tried to watch sports, but, like, I don't... Like, I would watch if it was real Bears versus real Dolphins. You know what I mean? Like, these Bears out there just like... Rah, rah, Eagles flying around over the Buccaneers. Like, dude, I don't even know what a Buccaneer is, but I know it would be hilarious to see a Buccaneer trying to get away from a Eagle. That would be hilarious. The Browns would be a family out on the field just barbecuing.
That's funny, Chris. Hey, dude. Thanks for coming in.
Thanks for having me, man. I love
Have fun
in.
With the live special, the live show, I mean, yeah. Undateable, May 5th. That's going to be awesome, right. I hope. And we'll look forward to Incorrigible this weekend. And stay well, my friend.
Thank you. You too.
I'll carry you home tonight.
Hall of Fame!
What just happened?
Nothing.
That song was... done for about an hour. I was before Kevin turned the microphones on.
I was fighting with my headphones and they were winning.
Yeah.
That looked like they were kind of hitting you in the face.
Yeah. I don't know exactly.
Hey, by the way, what about Catherine McPhee coming in next hour?
She's just the best.
What about the return of the McPhever? Come on.
How many true triple threats are there in show business? People who can sing, dance, act, all of it.
Oh, I didn't even think about dancing. I thought you were going to say singing and acting and being so hot. I thought that was the triple threat you were referring to. She's very talented. We love her. You know that, Ralph.
Let's not forget who loved who first.
Okay.
All right.
From Scorpion, Catherine
What's
McPhee.
That confusing thing look on your face, Kevin?
Next hour.
You know I had the McPhever first.
You did. That's true.
I coined the freaking phrase.
Yeah, she was your girl.
Back in the day.
Well,
everybody stole that pretty quickly, too. As soon as you said it, like, everywhere.
Seacrest was like, get a trademark on that. I'm making T-shirts. Say, hey, how about
Adam Carolla coming up later on this morning as well. First, so time for the showbiz beat here on a Wednesday. What's going on?
All right, this isn't showbiz at all, but okay. It is breaking news, and everyone's talking about it, so let's mention really quickly. Aaron Hernandez, former New England Patriots star, found guilty of murder this morning. Found guilty of murdering.
Kids love a murder verdict.
Well, they love justice. Okay. You know the kids love justice.
The kids have been following the trial.
They're the Justice League outcome. Of Children. he found guilty of murdering a semi-professional football player whose body was found shot multiple times near his home. He had a fight with this gentleman just days prior to the murder, and it's official.
Hmm.
Guilty,
now, Ali,
life
of
sentence,
course,
no chance of parole. Boom.
Okay.
There you go.
Put on the Ali's already on the defensive as a New England Patriots fan.
That is not true. Not
but
true at all.
She reminded us.
No, that guy deserved to be murdered with self-defense.
I am with the children. I like Are justice you? As well.
Ali had to remind us that not all New England Patriots kill. It just
not
seems like they do.
Not all are murdery.
Not all of them get caught.
Right.
That's my point.
Yeah.
You know Belichick has just murdered tons of people.
Oh, yeah.
You know it. And filmed it. He set up cameras, filmed the murders, then watched the tape back so he could improve upon his murder later.
Wow. I would be less surprised about him being a head coach serial killer than anyone else in the NFL.
I agree. Except maybe Pete Carroll, at best.
How dare you?
That thieving bastard.
They would find his gum at the scene. That's what would give Pete away.
That's true.
DNA just everywhere.
Oh, sounds like a good Scorpion episode. We should pitch that to Catherine McPhee when she comes in. Run this gun through the spectral analysis. Stat.
Like it.
We got to stop cats, right? Cats have to be stopped.
Cats, the animal?
The animal,
the musical?
Yes. Okay. No, animal. The animal.
We have to stop all of those
all
animals?
All of the cats have to be stopped.
I'm good with that.
Let's start rounding them up.
All right.
Let's start herding the cats.
Huh. Why?
Because of Catchella.
Oh, don't you.
Yeah, I did. You heard me.
Don't even.
Catchella. Just in time for this weekend's Coachella Music Festival comes Catchella. There's a new single from a band called the Shelines.
Yes.
It's an all-girl group.
Uh-huh.
And they've just released a remix of the legendary Meow Mix theme song. Remember Meow Mix? Meow, 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 meow. Remember that?
Yes.
Well, there's a new version by the Shelines out now. Okay. Capitalize on Coachella.
Okay.
You want to hear it?
I do.
I do.
Here's some. Here's some. That's the original. Right? Remember that? Remember that theme from the commercials?
Yeah, it was catchy as hell.
Here's the She Lines version.
That's terrible. That is truly awful.
I like that Ralph wants to go after the actual animals.
Well, without them, none of this happens. Without the cats, none of this happens. You have to go to the source, Kevin. All right? If you want to fight crime in the inner city, you gotta hit the poverty. That's why it happens.
So cats are to blame in general.
If you want to take out Coachella and bad cat music, you got to go to the source.
All right.
No cats, no meow mix song.
Pretty catchy.
It is pretty catchy. Congratulations to Billy Joel. He and his girlfriend are expecting a baby this summer. The 65-year-old rock star is... I'm going to start cursing.
Okay.
The 65-year-old rock star is dating a 33-year-old named Alexis Roderick, and she's going to have his baby.
Remember when he had a baby with, it was
Christy Brinkley, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And it looked like him.
29 years ago.
Have you seen her lately?
No, I haven't. Have you seen her grown up?
No, I haven't.
Stunning.
Is she? Oh, good, yeah. good.
As a little girl, she looked exactly like Billy Joel.
Which is
and
not
everyone
what
said,
want.
Oh, her mom's Christy Brinkley and she looks like Billy Joel. That is a, that's a genetic FU right there.
So she turned the corner and now she looks more like Christy.
She's a stunner. Beautiful.
Sweet.
Yeah. And talented, too. And she's 29 and Billy's girlfriend is 33. So they could probably hang out. And change dad's diapers. So that's nice. They probably have a good friendship. Today's celebrity birthdays. Macy Williams, Arya Stark from Game of Thrones. She's 18 years old today. Emma Watson turns 25. Seth Rogen's 33. Patrick Carney from the Black Keys. He's their drummer. 35 years old. Ed O'Brien, Radiohead guitarist, is 47. Actress, screenwriter, director, all-around good gal. Emma Thompson is 56 years old today. No bell this time.
No.
I've been noticing bells previously.
It was bell the first time, and then I argued.
It was bell hour
one. Oh, did you? I didn't know.
Protest it.
I protested.
I don't know.
That.
She's. I mean, this would be the category that Kevin doesn't have, which is she's very attractive for an older woman.
Yes, I agree. And her personality and talent just carry so much weight.
I feel like you're with me, Ralph, on she's so hot because of how smart and how talented she is, too.
Yeah, the whole package hot. She's whole package hot.
Yeah, I'm going to say bell then.
But I don't know if bell is for whole package hot or not, though.
This is tough, man.
I know, it's tough.
Heavy
is the head that wears the bell.
I'm going to take that back.
Does she get a boost for being an Oscar winner or no? That not help? That doesn't help with the bell.
Doesn't help with the bell.
I don't believe believe accolades really make you bell worthy or not. Because then Mother Teresa would be getting all kinds of bells.
We're going to send her some gravy as soon as we see how she's doing.
Ralph Garman, I walk the showbiz beat.
Catherine McPhee, this hour on the Kevin Amin Show. Adam Carolla, next hour. Guys, I can't believe there has not been a new episode of Chris Hansen's To Catch a Predator since 2008.
Yeah, that show was it was gangbusters until that. What happened? The dude like killed himself or something?
Yes, somebody killed himself. Somebody, I think, I don't remember the specifics, but yeah, somebody who was a target of one of the To Catch a Predator investigations ended up barricading himself inside his house and killed himself, right? Chris Hansen, for a number of years, I think four or five years, something like that, did this To Catch a Predator show, if you don't remember it. And basically what it would be is he would find people who were trolling for underage sex on the internet, and he would arrange, people pretending to be those underage victims would arrange to meet the man, and when they would show up, there would be Chris Hansen and a TV crew. And it was spectacular television. First of all, because Chris Hansen was a phenomenal host. He was so great because you could tell how much he enjoyed toying with these guys until so that he could get to the point where he would say, "You're free to leave. You can walk outside, be arrested." He enjoyed it so much, didn't he?
And if they walked outside, they would be like tased and taken down,
tackled.
Which is the right
thing.
Right.
But he would offer them a seat. Would you like a chair? How about some sweet tea? He was a lovely, lovely man to these people.
He was a monumental dick. But if you're going to be a dick to somebody, those are the guys. Dick to. So it was like we were all going,
anybody felt bad about child molesters being embarrassed on television. Exactly. So the show's been off the air for a number of years, and we have some great news for you here today. It looks like if this Kickstarter campaign works out, that it will be coming back onto the internet. They're trying to raise $400,000 to bring back To Catch a Predator. I'm contributing because I can't wait to see new episodes. We wanted to find out more about it. We've got the host of the program, former NBC newsman Chris Hansen, who joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show right now. Hi, Mr. Hansen. Thanks for coming on, sir.
Good morning, Kevin and Bean. How are you?
We're good. Thank you.
Well, we're doing great. It looks like you've been gone for a while, but it looks like you're coming back.
Well, we're trying. We're trying to raise the money. It's expensive to put any television program on the air, but we believe this one is important, and we want to see it back on the air again.
And have you gotten the sense in the years since your show's been off NBC that the fan base remains there and loyal and eager to participate and see new episodes?
Well, absolutely. I can't go anywhere without people asking me about To Catch a Predator. And the fact that people say they want it back because they believe, as we do, that our work is not. There are still predators out there who need to be caught.
Mm-hmm. And back then, you only had really a couple ways of finding them with chat rooms and stuff like that. But it has changed so much with Twitter, Instagram. There are going to be so many different ways now.
There is indeed many ways to find these men. In fact, Kevin, why don't you have a seat? Why don't you sit down for a second?
What are you talking about?
Don't you have an email address? meamkevin@hotmail.com.
No, I don't.
I believe you do. I saw an email here for you from a young man.
I don't.
That said, me am Kevin. Me like you, hot, good sex time.
Well, that sounds like something. That sounds like my use of language, yeah. Certainly.
And you had to repost it three times.
Well, that's Kevin. That's definitely Kevin.
Things wrong.
I don't think that was me, but.
Do you have an email address, lambdog@yahoo.com?
I don't. I do not.
You said, me am lammy.
I don't.
Me touch you, special place.
Nope. That is not the case, sir.
Got good love.
Nope. Got good love.
Mr. Hanson, you okay, sir?
Fine. Don't you, Kevin.
No!
I have an email address, fanofmelongtime@earthlink.com. .net.
Well, that is me.
Yes, that is you. And you sent an email to a 13-year-old boy saying, fan of me long time?
Nope.
Which was just the name of the email address, which confused everyone.
All right.
Allie McKay, why don't you have a seat for a second?
Oh, good. Sit down, Allie.
Don't you address Coach Belichick @yahoo.com?
I need that.
Where you said, yes, I'm the coach and you're the player. Love watching you play Pop Warner football. Is that true?
No, that's not me.
How about your email address, upyouralley@msn.com? Where you said, do you like cougars? Meow.
Allie.
I don't think
so. Or alleyalleyoxenfree@roadrunner.com. Huh. You said, let's play a game of tag. My vagina's it. Seems inappropriate for a child.
Wow, Chris is doing some good investigative work here.
Maybe we don't want this show to come back.
Gene Baxter, why don't you have a seat right now?
Let's do that. I don't have anything to do with this.
I believe your email address at islanddweller@AOL.com, where you said to a 12-year-old boy, let's play Gilligan's Island. I'll be the skipper. You'll be my little buddy.
Mm. I don't recall sending that at all, Chris.
What about your email address? EddieFitzgerald@msn.com.
Right.
Where you said, I'd like to wreck your poop deck.
Chris, I just came to this house for the milk and cookies.
Or your email address, PlutoLover@gmail.com. Mm. Where you said, I've been a fan of Pluto for a long time, but I'd really like to see Uranus.
Your investigative team is pretty darn good, Chris.
You're all free to go now.
Hi, Catherine McPhee.
Hi.
He's been really excited.
Yeah. Well, we love Kat. We've had her in.
I'm so glad you're excited. I'm excited to be here. Good morning.
We've had her in many times over the years, and it's always a thrill to catch up with you. We saw you at, we were just talking off the air briefly, we saw you at Comic-Con with them, and the last time we probably talked to you was at Comic-Con last year?
That's right.
And that's when Scorpion was a brand new show, and here you are nearing the end of season one with your season finale this coming Monday night. Looking back on one full season of Scorpion, how's it been for you?
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Well, when I saw you guys at the press line, we had just started our first week of shooting. So we – oh, is my mic not close enough?
There you go.
Oh, this is what's happening in the studio. We just wrapped like about a week and a half ago, so I've been sleeping a lot.
Good.
Yeah, drama is a lot of work for an actress, right?
It, you know, TV shows in general, the schedule are just – they're always – it's not like we're a unique group. I think most people who work on TV shows work really long hours, but our show is what they call an ensemble show. But we don't really have this particular season. We didn't have like the, I guess you could say, benefits of an ensemble schedule, because the way that our show is structured, they, and CBS really wants all of the, and what makes our show so fun to watch is that everybody's in every scene.
Right.
So it's like seven people covering seven different ways to cover all the characters, and we all just travel in a big group because we're like these problem solvers and we travel everywhere. So it's not one of those things where it's like, you know, people thought, oh, no, it'll be great, you know, and you'll have like a day or two off. And it was literally like 8.5 months of just everybody in every day and shooting long hours and stuff. So I think it was, the show's doing incredibly well and it's been such a fun thing to be a part of. But I think we're all like just so happy to have like 3 months off to just rest and regroup and
just literally sleep.
Just sleep.
Just get some rest.
Yeah. Just sleep. But I'm actually, I wrote the showrunner. I said, I'm really looking forward to the 3 months off, but I'm so excited for the second season, because I think when you know what to expect and you've had a one season to kind of go, oh, okay, this is what it is, and now I'll do this differently or this differently, it just got me kind of excited for...
Is it less scary than going into the project not really knowing how it's going to end up or play out?
What's less scary?
I'm saying, is it less scary going into the second season?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, because you've become a family, really. I mean, you know pretty much everyone you're going back to. You know the crew, you know the cast. And we have a great group. I mean, we all get along really well. And so it makes it actually more exciting because you do know what you're going back to, in a sense.
When we first started hearing about Scorpion and we talked to you at Comic-Con, people were buzzing about it because of the involvement of Walter O'Brien.
Right.
Now, for folks who haven't checked it out yet, explain to people why Walter O'Brien is such a fascinating guy and how cool it is to have him being a consultant on your show.
Right. Well, the show's loosely based on his life. We sort of, you know, kind of take some information from his life and then we kind of go off with it and create even bigger storylines. But he is... the show is based off of, and he's considered a genius man, and he's created a company where he worked as a consultant for, you know, government contracts and things like that. Basically, genius crime fighting group of people who, you know, our show is based off of, and I think people are fascinated by him because there's so much like the FBI and the CIA, there's so much that goes on that you don't know about that people are fascinated
right.
by.
Yeah, totally.
And so he's like another facet of a world that we don't even know about. So we kind of try to tell that story.
In the TV show intro, they talk about how he was arrested when he was 11. Is that accurate of him too or no?
As a hacker?
I do know that he, according to him, like he did hack into things. I don't know that he was arrested.
Okay.
But it sure made a great opening scene
it
for
did,
the pilot.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. That's true.
This Walter O'Brien is not just, he's not just a genius. He's a 200 IQ genius. That's what's amazing. Like, he's the smartest of the smart.
Yeah, I
don't
even know what that means. That's how smart it is.
Yeah, I don't know. What's he like, though? We got a chance to shake his hand at Comic-Con. And
right.
We said, hey, we're not going to interview you because we want to have you in studio. And he said, great, I'd love to do it. And we booked an interview with Mr. O'Brien. He was supposed to come in. But then he had to cancel because he was consulting the U.S. government on the Scottish elections. That's the kind of stuff
right,
he was doing in his off time.
There's a lot of things that he's said to me, and I've always been like, are you sure about that?
Because he can say anything and we'd believe it at this point, right?
Well, it's true. You know what? The important thing is that he's given the story, the writers, incredible. I mean, you sit down and you talk to him and he has incredible stories, and I don't know really how you make them up. I don't know how you can be that creative and make some of them up, but our show is loosely based on a lot of the things that he says he's done or whatever, but it sure gives us like incredible storylines.
The lead character is played by, how do you say his name? I don't want to screw it up.
Elias Cabell.
Elias Cabell.
Yeah.
He he's too smart for his own good, sort of, in a way that it's hard for him to get along with people, understand people, have empathy.
Oh, are you talking about the real version of him or the Walter Bryan version?
Well, I'm asking you to
you tell us
I'm asking you to compare. Like,
he's the least
those...
favorite person on the set. No, I'm just kidding.
No, I'm saying, does Walter have those issues? Because I know, like, being super smart and he doesn't know how to get along with people, it's sort
how
of
dare
like,
you?
It's sort
yeah.
of like,
well, you know,
your son is like a kid bean, and then Walter is like a grown-up bean.
Exactly. One of the things I do know that when I've spoken to him and when Elias has spoken to him, the reason he was so excited about having a show about a group of geniuses that are, you know, I guess eccentric at times and don't necessarily always feel like they fit in, because that's sort of the theme of our show is mm-hmm. that they don't always fit in and they found each other and that's where they find a sense of family. And I think that he was excited about... a show like this to, because I guess, I mean, I'm not a genius, so I can't really empathize, but that it's meant to sort of encourage people who are, you know, in fact, geniuses and may not have the social skills to kind of get through life like a normal person, whatever that means. And it's supposed to be like a, you know, inspiration to kind of utilize your mind in a positive way. And I know that he's definitely been using that angle to try and, you know, shed some light on genius sounds like it's a word we use all the time,
right.
But like, if you're really talking like the true meaning of what a genius is, I think that's what our show is like always talking about and the challenges that some people have when
yeah, it's
they
a blessing
are,
and a curse right. in some cases.
Yeah, right. And it becomes a safe place for people watching it. Because then they think, okay, there's other people just like me. I maybe just haven't
right.
found them yet.
Right.
I don't think that, though. When I watch it, I go, those people are all too smart for me.
Yeah. Right?
It's different.
I love it, but...
Well, Paige feels the same way.
Talking to our friend Catherine McPhee here on the Kevin and Bean Show about Scorpion. Season finale is going to be this Monday night at 9 on CBS. What's the craziest thing that your waitress character has found herself doing on Scorpion? Like the most unrealistic thing that you had to try to act your way through?
Because so
you do get involved. You do get dragged along. It's a pretty crazy
adventure.
I get
dragged along in a lot of things, like going to Mexico. You know, she's... I sometimes... Or when we went to Bosnia, the Bosnia episode, and like suddenly I'm in army fatigue, and I'm like, why couldn't Paige just stay back with Ralph? Like,
right, exactly.
And then I could have had a day off from work.
Yeah.
But it's so funny because my friend... Because as I said earlier, like... We're all in every scene, so sometimes Paige, because she's not a genius, doesn't have much to say. I was just when you were asking me that, my friend Sarah loves to like watch the show every week. Sometimes she gets far behind, but she loves to kind of like imitate Paige, and she'll, you know, like have a pen of like a highlighter and a notepad, and she'll just be like, "This is Paige," and she'll just be highlighting things that like aren't really. She's like, "Oh, there's the highlighter. That should be like the drinking game on the show. Is if Paige is highlighting things in the background?"
This is like busy work for the actress. For you,
yeah. Well, I just want to have some. Sometimes, like, always want to feel like I'm doing my job, right?
Right. Sure.
But no, like, I think it's. But that's what is fun about the show, is seeing these characters in these crazy situations.
Crazy
like
situations,
Bosnia
right.
and Mexico.
Because somebody looked at Catherine McPhee and said, I got it. Action star.
Right. No, really, though. Like, in this final episode, it's fun. I was like, oh, I get to run. That's awesome.
I can do that.
I can do that. You'd be surprised. I see some running and chicks, and it's not so good.
Yeah.
All right.
I feel like I did it.
Did you get a running coach?
Nope.
Okay. Right.
I just tried to stay loose. Well, at Barry's Boot Camp, I do go to there, so hopefully.
Scorpion airs Monday nights at 9 on CBS. Season finale for season 1 is going to be this week. More with our guest, Kat McPhee, right after this on K-Rock. Catherine McPhee in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show on the world-famous K-Rock. She, of course, one of the stars of Scorpion on CBS Monday nights at 9. Was the first time we ever met you, Kat, when you came in here for the hometown visit near the end of your season of American Idol?
I think so. I was
was so fun.
8 or 9 years ago.
Has it been that long?
I was
long?
Nothing but a babe.
Isn't that... are you... You're more actress and less singer now than before, it seems like.
Well, I do a lot of shows that around the... I mean, I haven't in the last year just because the schedule. I can't get away. But actually, I am... Okay, so when I finished Smash, I... Basically, in between getting Smash and in between finishing Smash and getting Scorpion, mm-hmm. I completed an album. And it's been like just shelved because like I just can't put an album out when I'm when I got Scorpion the schedule. You know,
you
just
need time to promote it and tour.
Yeah,
it.
Exactly. And I've been just waiting and waiting and waiting. And yeah, I guess I am more known for being an actor now. But I'm actually putting a single out in a couple weeks.
Wow. That's fantastic news.
We shot a video last week, and we're going to drop an album as well. But we're going to we're it's a team, just like Scorpion. I'm going. My management and I guess I should say, we're going to wait to see, you know, do like some promo for the actual single, and then wait to see when the right time to put the album out is. But you know, it's I think it's much easier once you have the time to properly put something out. And then I go back to work for Scorpion, and then I can kind of take the weekends here and there and do some shows and stuff like that. But yeah, I've not put out music like properly in a really long time.
A really long time. And,
how long ago did you finish this album that you have done?
So pretty much like around this time, maybe not quite a year.
Okay.
Maybe May, June was when I kind of mixed the entire album. Like I have about 10 tracks. It was mixed by Tony Maserati, who's amazing. And and then I got Scorpion. We went to work in July, and there was just kind of no way. There's just no way to, and you have to have at least like 2 months to at least promote something. And then I can go back to my little Scorpion world and let it, you know, do what it's going to do.
Has it been killing you though?
Yeah, because I'm
sitting there.
I
it's under wraps, yeah.
My first out that my, this album that's going to come out is more reminiscent of like my first album, which people actually really like. I still get people I get more comments about like, oh, I hope your album's more like your first album. And it doesn't sound exactly the same. It's more mature, but I'm really excited about it. I feel like I finally figured it out. I was always a singer. I could always sing like lots of different styles. And I do still, I do like Broadway shows. I haven't done a Broadway show, but I did a show about Broadway, so I can sing like a Broadway singer. I can, do all different kinds of styles. Like I'm going to Thailand to go sing with Bocelli, so I sing these like
same.
Pop.
I'm doing that.
Wow.
I'm doing that as well.
You're not singing with Andrea Bocelli.
I'm not.
No.
So like I go and do these pop ballads and stuff like that. But
can you rap?
That I cannot do. Sure, I could.
Can you work on rap and next time you come in?
Yeah. We need a rap album from you before next time.
Right.
If you don't mind.
I love rap music.
You're not busy, so.
When you were a young girl, was acting always part of the plan? Or was it singing first? You fell into acting.
I think singing was the first thing I kind of figured out that I don't even have a memory of going like, oh, I want to sing. I just always sang. I just always grew up like just singing because my mom was a singer. My grandfather, my dad's side, was the dean of music in Denver, Colorado. And
wow.
So there's music everywhere. And then, I spent a lot of time in my room, like just kind of acting things out and stuff. But I wasn't as conscious like of a thing for me, like going, oh, I'm going to be an actress.
That wasn't
I was
the
actually,
goal as much.
No, but I was kind of shy. Like I didn't sing in front of people a lot. I think the story that I kind of told, because, you know, you always feel like you have to have like an angle when you go on those kind of shows like Idol, was that I was this, you know, this girl who had so much experience with live performing and stuff. And the reality is I didn't as far as like a pop artist would have experience performing in front of live audiences.
Right.
I really didn't. So it wasn't until high school that I got really into wanting to be an actor. I found that more, I felt more comfortable doing that because you could hide behind like not being yourself.
A character, yeah.
Yeah. That felt more comfortable to me because, you know, when you're singing on stage, it's just you. You're exposed.
Is that
so,
being shy? Is that what that is?
Yeah.
You think?
Yeah. I mean, people were like, you're not shy. I'm not a shy person, but growing up, like, that kind of vulnerability on stage made me, that vulnerability wasn't a comfortable feeling for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I loved to sing. And I knew I was good at it. And I was like the first talent that I knew that's what I was going to do basically. But the acting thing was something I took more seriously starting in like high school. I did some commercials and things like that. And I went and studied theater in college. I only stayed for about 3 semesters, but
what did you do commercials for?
my first, let's see. I did a commercial for AT&T.
Okay.
Once.
Wow.
I remember Paul Reiser did all those commercials for AT&T. Was it AT&T or Sprint? No, it was AT&T.
Don't know.
Do you remember Paul Reiser?
Yes,
I do. And well, I remember his commercials.
He had tons. He was he was the guy for those commercials. And they just showed me for like 5 seconds typing on a computer.
And you're like, I made it.
That's the weird thing about those commercials is that you have to go through all these, like, you know, in the actual audition, I had to say things. And then you actually see the audition and all you're doing is like typing and smiling.
Nailed it.
Nailed it. It paid for like a semester of college for me. Wow. So
all right.
I didn't have to do
student
loans.
Star is born, ladies and gentlemen. Look at that girl type. Hey, right? you mentioned Broadway, Catherine McPhee here on the Kevin and Bean Podcast. You mentioned Broadway. Did I read about you're doing Broadway in June, right?
Right. So this is
cool.
This thing has been so crazy. So the producers of Smash, I mean, there were many producers, but they had this idea. There's a charity organization called the Actors Fund, and it helps like support actors who are out of work or with their medical bills, going to see doctors and stuff. And we all were such a tight group on the show that they asked us if we would want to do like a one night only concert version of Bombshell, which was the Marilyn Monroe inspired musical on the show.
Right. The show, for folks who don't remember, the show was about a cast putting on a Broadway show called Bombshell. So now you're actually going to put that show on stage on Broadway.
Right. In June.
That's genius.
It's June 8th.
That's brilliant.
And we're not being paid to do this. We just thought, oh my God, it'd be great. They're going to have a real orchestra to play all these songs. So it'll be me and Megan Hilty basically doing most of the big, you know, the big Marilyn songs that we did on the show. And I just thought, well, how are they going to afford to put all this up? Like, if this is going towards a charity. Mm-hmm. They did a Kickstarter and they raised over $300,000 and like in the most, I just couldn't believe how quickly they did it. I think yesterday the tickets went on sale because if you donated, then you got, you know, access to a ticket, although some people didn't. So I know some people are upset and they're going to probably get their money back because it's only one. I wish it was more than one night. But yeah, it's going to be in June. So that's how they're going to be able to support at least, you know, paying for musicians and stuff like that to put the show together.
It's such a testament to how much people loved
the show.
It was a cult hit. Look, it wasn't a broad mainstream network hit, mm-hmm. but it was a cult hit and had a very passionate fan base.
Yeah, it did. And I feel like I've just been so surprised coming off of the show how many people, still just almost are more ravenous for the show after it's been canceled, you know. So
you know what I find funny about this interview? She was just saying how she has 3 months off to sleep,
mm-hmm.
but she's releasing an album, yeah. doing a Broadway show, yeah. and then going back to work. This is not time off.
No, but it's like that's what I like. Yeah. I mean, I was you're right. I was lying about the sleep thing.
You had like 3 days to sleep.
That's right.
I really do enjoy like. I'm going on the Late Late Show tonight, the James Corden show.
He's amazing.
I can't wait. It's going to be so much fun. And yesterday my friend was saying, oh, you have a really long day. You got to do the K-Rock interview and then you got to go do the extra interview. And I'm like, yeah, it's great. Like it's just, I love being able to be busy and do things like that. I'm in love. I'm so excited to go and support a single, you know. That's
well, we're glad that it's going so well for you. We're glad you're so happy. You're good at very many things, Catherine McPhee.
Thank
and
you.
We always appreciate your time stopping by. I can't believe when you said it's been 8 or 9 years since we first had you on the air. It's been just flown by. It really
how
has.
How much older do I look since you last
not at all
saw me?
You
upsetting.
Look fantastic.
It's upsetting.
Don't you look don't the look same.
At us. That's very sweet. I hope I get to see you guys at Comic-Con this year.
I hope so too. Scorpion finale airs this Monday night at 9 o'clock on CBS. If you've not gotten on the program yet, you definitely need to. You can catch all previous episodes from season one on demand, and we will stand by for some news on your new single, your new album, and all the rest. Catherine, thank you so much for coming.
Thanks,
we really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
It is 8:52.
Our friend Adam Carolla joins us coming up right after the top of the hour with This Week in Rage. First, though, on a Wednesday morning, Ralph Garman time. Take a look at the showbiz beat. What's going on, Ralph?
Well, my favorite story ever broke this week, while we were out having fun in Vegas.
Favorite story ever.
The best thing ever happened.
Can't wait.
You know how much I love Farrah Abraham.
Yes.
Backdoor teen mom Farrah Abraham.
Sure.
She was a teen mom on MTV.
Right.
Got knocked up. Went on a reality show. That's how she got famous. Mm-hmm. Then she did Teen Mom 2, I think.
I don't know.
Regardless, she went and made her porn movie.
Right.
Backdoor Teen Mom. And then she's been on the adult film circuit doing the strip clubs and personal appearances and showing up at porn conventions. And
got a vagina mold made.
I was going to say she had sex toys made after her anus and vagina. So she is a Renaissance woman. And now,
keeping it classy for her daughter.
Right, her four-year-old who she doesn't see, and she believes it's good for them to have time off from each other when she's out traveling at strip clubs making it rain. It's okay for her daughter to be without a mom for a while. In this case, that might be true. But my favorite announcement is that Farrah Abraham
is going to Broadway.
No.
Oh. Don't say she's pregnant, Ralph. Don't say she's pregnant.
No. Bean, she's a career woman. She's a businesswoman. She's a...
Okay, good.
Backdoor Teen Mom. Hello.
That's right.
Oh, right.
She can't
be
pregnant.
That's
not how that works, Bean.
That's right.
Come on.
Do some research.
She is going to be a doctor. She's announced she's going to be a doctor.
Come on. Yeah. That's a joke.
Kevin, how can you not support this young single mother in her dreams to be one of America's top plastic surgeons?
So... She's going back to school?
Here's the announcement. Let me read the announcement for you. By the way, I love how she writes and speaks. She has got that magical quality of a really stupid person who tries to use a lot of big words and a lot of words in a sentence to sound intelligent, but she cannot pull it off. So she ends up sounding like that Cecily Strong character on Saturday Night Live, the girl at the party that you don't want to start a conversation with. It's very entertaining. So here, I can tell she wrote this herself. Here you go. From seeing the best and the worst in the industry and experiencing it as well, it has me wanting to pursue and achieve the best in education to help men and women from trauma scenarios to reconstructive and aesthetic surgeries.
Trauma scenarios?
Yes. The trauma scenarios, by the way, at Coachella this weekend are going to be awesome. She continues, it is incredible how important doctors are to our society. And how they help individuals to live up to their full potential in life. By the way, it is incredible how important doctors are to our society. That's O-U-R to O-U-R society.
Okay.
And help individuals live up to their full potential in life. I hope to inspire and help others fulfill their best selves as I do my best to become the top doctor in the nation in my future.
Wait, read that last part again.
She's magic.
That's sweet.
I hope to inspire and help others fulfill their best selves as I do my best to become the top doctor in the nation in my future. Huh. It's like every book report written by a fifth grader that you've ever read. She's the best.
She's the best.
She's the best.
And she's going to be the best doctor.
And
as
I
well.
Say, the minute she gets her license, when she hangs her shingle, I am going there for something. I'm getting some work done. From Farrah Abraham. Because
don't need it, but you're going to do it.
Whatever. I'm going to get some elective plastic surgery because she is the top doctor in the world at what she does.
In her future.
In her future with the trauma scenarios.
She's me, isn't she?
Yes.
Well, everyone's thinking it.
I don't want to say that because you're in the Hall of Fame and everything, but matter. She is kind of you. She is kind of you.
Except without the doctorate.
Yeah. Speaking of Coachella, we didn't even cover... Bieber getting chokeholded.
That's the other great story.
That's a great story, right?
Yep.
Him trying to get into the VIP artist tent and the security saying, no, let me choke you out.
He threw a tantrum.
Just a little bit more pressure. Just a little bit more pressure. You would have heard that, precious that sound. The sound you see in all the action movies where they just hear it. And you see the head just kind of snap and boom. Body drop. Body fall.
Instant death.
We're so close. Bieber getting choked out at Coachella. Good for you, Coachella. Well done, Coachella. Hey, looks like Jenner's getting ready for the sex change.
Okay.
He is all prepped and good to go, according to sources. His transformation is almost complete. RadarOnline.com is reporting he's set to undergo his sex change operation in a matter of weeks, in which plastic surgeon Dr. Mel Ortega calls a very intensive surgery.
Why isn't he going to Dr. Abraham?
That's maybe a great he's waiting for Dr. Abraham.
I would so wait.
Yeah, I mean,
I was going to get all my work done. I want it by the best, the top surgeon in the nation in her future. That's what I want. Process, by the way, the surgery takes approximately 8 hours. It's an 8-hour surgery for it to be completed. This is why anyone who says to me, oh, they're just... They're just confused. The other hand was down here, Allie. You can't see what I'm doing all the time.
Ralph was holding up three fingers.
What do you have three fingers? Because the other hand had five. It's just I was down here. God. People say, oh, why does he want to do that? It's just a choice. He's just choosing that last time. Who would undergo an eight-hour surgery to feel like they were being their true selves if it wasn't a real issue that you were dealing with? I'm not keen on getting my teeth cleaned. I don't like that experience. I'm not going under the knife for an eight-hour procedure unless
it's important to you, unless it's something you've given a lot of thought and you decided you need to do it.
This is for me to be my true self and to live a life that is authentic. I need to have this surgery done. It's remarkable how brave these people are and what they have put themselves through in order to try to get some harmony with their physical and their emotional and mental selves. So,
yeah, it's not a transformation anyone goes into lightly.
Nope.
That's for sure.
I agree. Today's celebrity birthdays, actress Emma Thompson. She's also a screenwriter and director. She's 56 years old today. I think she's got an Oscar for screenwriting, if I'm not mistaken.
She does, for Sense and Sensibility.
Yeah. Ed O'Brien, Radiohead guitarist, 47 years old today. Black Keys drummer Patrick Carney's 35. Actor Seth Rogen's 33 years old. Emma Watson celebrates her 25th birthday. And Maisie Williams plays Arya Stark on Game of Thrones. She's 18 today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
We're going to recap for you in about 50 minutes or so our day in Las Vegas at the Hall of Fame ceremony. So stick around if you want to hear some behind the scenes on how that played out. But Adam Carolla's on the phone. Ace Man, thank you so much for being part of our video that they played yesterday at the NAB convention. That was very cool of you, sir.
That was my pleasure. I was honored.
I think he was mocking us in the video, don't you, Kevin?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, he was doing the right thing.
We're going to get the audio, and we're going to play it for you on the radio and put that video up as soon as we can get it from the NAB yesterday. But Adam and Jimmy Kimmel and Chris Hardwick and Ralph and Dave and a bunch of other people participated in making a video that was kind of a cool career retrospective, and it was a lot of fun to see that there yesterday. So we'll get that up online as soon as we can. The Ace Man is in town this week, and you can meet him tomorrow night. He's doing a very special event at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. He's premiering his new documentary called Winning, the Race Life of Paul Newman, and I understand you still have a few tickets left for the VIP after party with the stars. Is that right, Adam?
That is right, and for the screening, too, so come on out.
Yeah, definitely. Jimmy Kimmel will be there, of course, Patrick Dempsey, a whole bunch of famous IndyCar drivers as well. Just a few tickets left. You can go to adamcarolla.com for all the details. Cars on display. If you want to buy tickets, by the way, we have a special promotion going on for KROQ listeners. You can now use a promo code and bring a guest for free. So it's a 2-for-1 offer with the proceeds going to Newman Automotive Racing Charity. So it's a great charity, a great event. I hear it's a great movie and a fun party, too. That's tomorrow night in Hollywood. adamcarolla.com for details. It's time for This Week in Rage.
It's time for This Week
in Rage.
Well, starting at number three, working my way on up to number one. I came up with something the other day. I got the zip line back going in the yard for my daughter.
Okay.
I put my son on it. He's a world-class puss. Pulled him up about halfway up the thing, let him go. He rolled to a stop, and then I found him later crying in his room.
Are you positive you're not damaging him?
There could be some damage, but you know what? First off, all the greats in life are damaged goods, Kevin.
All right. So you're helping him out?
Vincent Van Gogh, one of the greatest painters ever. Damaged goods.
True.
Mozart. Van Gogh shot his ear off. Damaged goods. I mean, Madonna's damaged goods. All the greats are damaged goods. So we should hope that everyone's not just raised in bubble wrap and dipped in Purell, all right? You want any art in the future?
Take it easy.
I think we're up to two now, Kevin. He's raging at you.
There's nothing wrong with damaged goods. It creates some of the greatest artists on the planet. All right. The point is this. I realize, you know what's missing from his childhood that was a huge part of our childhood that doesn't exist anymore? Folks around him, his peers, making the chicken sound. Remember when you would get taunted into things and you'd go, I don't know, and then everyone would go, you put your thumbs in your armpits and start flapping your make-believe wings and making the chicken sound. When's the last time you heard kids mocking another kid with the chicken sound?
That was unbelievably powerful.
Oh, it was such a burn.
You could do And you can make somebody do anything with that.
Oh, I mean, it'd be like, hey, take this rusty piece of rebar and push it through your rib cage. I don't know, fellas. Okay, all right, give it to me. Give it to me. You could get a kid to rob a bank. You could get him to set a hobo on fire.
That's true.
You could get him to stab his stepdad while he was napping. Like, get him to do anything. All it took was one other kid pretending to be a chicken.
Yeah.
I don't even know that chickens are cowardly. All I know is they walk in a circle and eventually get eaten.
Do you think, Ace Man, that your boy is coming of age in the 21st century where that would be considered bullying and the kids could get in trouble for making the chicken sound these days?
I don't know who to blame. Like McDonald's for the advent of the McNugget? I think it went out around the time the McNugget came around. Well, all we do is eat chickens now. We used to mimic chickens.
Right.
And it worked on everything. You could get anyone to do anything if more than two people simulated a chicken next to them.
That's true.
I like it. We're going to try to bring that back. That's a great idea, Ace Man.
Please, let's bring the chicken sound back. Now, number two, speaking of kids and wusses, I don't know. Do you guys see this Frank Sinatra retrospective they were showing?
I just started it. It's 4 hours long, so I haven't gotten all the way through it, but I am fascinated by it.
Well, the thing I'm most fascinated by is after JFK gets shot, they show some color footage of, you know, we all seen the iconic image of little John John when he's 3.5 years old saluting as the casket goes by him, right? Everyone knows that image.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
You got to Google image search that image one more time. He's not wearing pants. It's November.
He's wearing
Jackie
a short
O is
suit.
The worst mom on the planet. It's November. It's Virginia. It's freezing out there. He's not only is he not wearing pants, look at the picture. I don't think he's wearing shorts. If he is wearing shorts, he's wearing the ones Bruce Jenner wore in Can't Stop the Music. You got to Google that one, and then you'll laugh, too. The point is when he salutes, the little mini dress he's wearing goes up, like, past his little shriveled nutsack, which obviously is freezing outside, so it's gone up into him like a landing gear in the belly of a plane. Why wouldn't you put your kid in pants?
Are you looking close enough to notice that the kid's not wearing pants?
I study documentaries. That's what I do. He's wearing the exact same outfit his sister's wearing. Why would you dress your son and your daughter in the same outfit? It's November. It's Virginia. Give the kid some pants. He's mourning, for Christ's sake.
It's a little peacoat. I'm looking at it. It's a little peacoat, hey,
can
but
you
see no pants.
Can you see pants?
You can't.
Are there shorts?
I don't think you can see anything but the peacoat.
Does the peacoat go all the way up to his pee-pee?
It's almost there, Adam.
Okay, do you see any shorts?
I do not.
I'm uncomfortable with this.
Why are you sending him out to mourn with no pants and no shorts on? He's freezing.
Adam, how are you complaining about something that happened in 1963?
I'm grandfathering this one in. All right, number one. We got a problem here, and we got to fix it.
Right.
And it's going to require smoking in bars.
Smoking in bars.
We got a serious issue going on because.
Oh wait, you're bringing smoking in bars back, Adam?
Yes, bring it back. Bring it back. I talked to somebody the other day. He basically said he went out for a cigarette. He was standing in the alley. He's with some chick, and he basically just had dumpster sex with her.
Yeah.
Just leaned her up against a dumpster and had his way with her.
Right.
And I realized, you know what's going on with all this? And I see it all the time. If you go to a bar, what happens is people go in the bar and they get drunk. When they get drunk, they want to smoke, but they can't smoke in the bar. So they don't go out front, because if they go out front and they light a cigarette, the bouncer's going to tell them to move it down the sidewalk a few clicks.
All right.
They end up going out the backyard. Now you got a volatile mix here. You have super drunken dude and super drunken chick leaning up against a dumpster, smoking. Next thing you know, rape epidemic. So while secondhand smoke is not a first-rate killer, the dumpster in the alley and the cigarette is a fertile soil for a raping. So while lung cancer may be down 10%, rape is up 92%.
I'm not sure you can prove any of these numbers, by the way.
You take drunken people in a bar. Bean, if you and I just sat in a bar and got drunk enough and they sent us out to stand in the alley, eventually
like
there'd be oral sex.
Oh.
And there would be.
It starts to look pretty good, is what you're saying.
You can't get drunk in a bar and then go stand in an alley and smoke with a stranger without raping them. It gets impossible. I have math on my side.
You don't have anything on your side.
Listen, all the girls
you have nothing
around the alley with the weird... When you're a dude and you're in a bar and there's a chick standing next to you getting drunk, all you want to do is get her out of that bar, right? That's all you want to do.
Right.
Right. Here's how you do it. Want to have a smoke? Next thing you know, rape city. Here we go.
I don't think anyone's in
exactly
for that.
That's how it works.
All right. I'm with you on the first two. I don't know if I'm with you on the last one, Adam.
Unintended consequences. That's all I'm saying.
You stand alone, my friend.
Hey, listen. You can still see Road Hard. It's available on all digital and VOD platforms. It's Adam's very funny movie. Go to AdamCarolla.com and see his brand new film tomorrow night. That's going to be at the El Capitan Theater in Hollywood. Tickets are available. A K-Rock 2-for-1 offer. Again, AdamCarolla.com. Have a great time. Say hi to the Ace Man when you see him. And don't go into the alley with him. Adam, thanks for the time, sir.
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show. It is 9:44.
How about one final look at the showbiz beat with our friend Ralph Barron?
Show business news.
Yes.
It is a thing that you do at this time
every day. It is indeed.
And you start it by saying...
And then the words that come out of your mouth are...
I know it. Look, I get it. I get it.
Could you share it with us?
What's going on?
Can you back up a couple of thoughts before I get it?
I was walking in here and I saw a beer mug and I just couldn't help but think... What a douchebag.
Right, but...
Because you weren't hanging around in Vegas with him as much as I was. I spent a lot of time in Vegas.
Oh, did you?
With Beer Mug.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. He's
a great guy.
He's a cartoon character.
He is a cartoon character as well.
He's not a real person.
Yeah.
And you should have met his buddy. You should have met...
Randy?
Galifianakis.
What?
His buddy Galifianakis.
Is that Galifianakis?
Well, that's what I called him all night because he was a big, dumb, bearded guy. Who was just as drunk as Beer Mug when we all went out for dinner. And he's like, let my friend come to dinner with us because he's a good guy. He's quiet. He won't say anything. Lies! Guys, he's like, yeah, get more sake. I like sake. And I was like, really? I got to put up with Beer Mug Squared now with this guy? And then I find, I spend my time on the floor of the casino to find the classic Batman slot machine.
Okay.
That's all I cared about.
All right.
Because I know this thing existed. I remember Adam West telling me that they're making a Batman slot machine, and I knew it was in Vegas, so I had to find one.
Okay.
So I find one at dinner, and I sit down, and I start playing my machine, and Beer Mug sits down next to me. I'm going to play this, too.
That is awesome.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
I'm going to play this. It looks fun. Galifianakis is like, yeah, it's a friend. It's a friend. So Beer Mug sits down next to me. Boom, hits for $400. Son of a bitch.
He won instantly.
Son of a bitch.
And you lost instantly.
Son of a bitch.
That is fantastic.
Not fantastic.
I hear we are carving out some time on tomorrow's show to hear about Beer Mug ending up in a shady part of Las Vegas at some point during your trip.
Yeah. There was speculation he was either going to be murdered or arrested. Yeah, I would have accepted either outcome.
If they'd have come to you, you would have said whichever's convenient for you.
Flip a coin, I would have said.
Dude, this is a new level for the Mugs. This is a mess.
He was a mess. He was a big mess. We were eating dinner at, I don't know, Chip, what time we eat dinner? 8:30? 8:30?
Yeah, 8:30.
8:30-ish. A little late for dinner, but not too late. Beer Mugs. Blasted.
Just not too late in Las Vegas when you don't have to get up early the next morning.
Faced. He was just faced drunk. Just forget it. Just blotto.
Did he do
My friend is great. Be quiet. Come with us.
Did he do the thing where he talks to everybody about everything?
Oh, yeah. 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 Anyway, so I'm sorry to digress, but it was so much in my mind as I walked in the studio. I was looking at the stories of the show business news, and I just couldn't get it out of my head. I just had to vent.
Yeah. I think Muggs is also one of those guys who doesn't go to Las Vegas very often, so when he's there, he really feels like he has to milk every minute out of it.
I don't know. He sure seems like he's from the Board of Tourism. Because every casino you walk past, he will tell you the history of that.
Really?
That's the Flamingo. That's where Bugsy Siegel started it all.
This is the Westgate, formerly known as the Las Vegas International. Elvis Presley used to perform here. I was like, what? Will you shut up? I'm not on a tour.
I'm surprised he knew any of that.
He's some idiot savant when it comes to Vegas hotels.
What's happening?
I don't know, but tomorrow. You going to talk to him tomorrow?
Yes.
All right, I won't bring him in here to force him to defend himself, but I got some, there's some splaining needs to be done.
Some issues, all right.
Congratulations to Billy Joel. He and his girlfriend are expecting a baby this summer. His girlfriend is Alexis Roderick. She's 33 years old today. Billy Joel is 65 years old.
Yay!
Doctors say because of the advanced age of his sperm, she will be having an adult.
I didn't know that's how it
works.
Yeah,
she's going to have a fully formed adult. It's going to come out. Probably an accountant, they say.
Okay.
He's got a first child. He's got another child, a daughter with Christie Brinkley, who is 29 years old. Hmm. And his girlfriend is 33 years old.
Guys, is there any way Billy Joel is happy about this baby?
He claims to be very happy. They're over the moon.
I don't know. What 65-year-old wants to go through a newborn again?
Look, he will be as involved as he wants to be.
Yeah.
Which could be some or not at all.
Could be writing a check or it could be actually stopping by to visit.
Right. I'm sure he'll have a
team. Only those two.
He'll have a team of nannies on call 24/7 and
for him though, right?
Yes, for him. Sure, naturally.
And then when they're done changing him, then
he's
going to
wipe his chin after one too many glasses of rosé, whatever he has at the end of the night.
Bottle of red.
Bottle of white.
I see what you guys are doing, and I want you to stop it.
That must be. Hey, ladies, you want to be a supermodel? Victoria's Secret angel Rosie Huntington-Whiteley has her advice. She has one of the most enviable figures on earth, and they asked her what her secret is, and she goes, she just eats whatever she wants.
Women love that, really that kind of story.
Oh, they love this.
Hearing that. Tell me about how you were the ugly duckling growing up.
She tells Harper Bazaar she likes cheese, bread, pasta, french fries, bacon, and pigs in a blanket.
Shut up.
That's her diet. Screw those people, right? Who's with me?
You would certainly think that she would know that that would not get her well.
It's not endearing.
Yeah, it's not endearing at all. You're lucky. You should at the very least, you should say, I'm the luckiest person on the earth because
genetically, I've just been dealt just a royal flush and I can do whatever I want.
Yes.
Yeah. We talked about Bruce Jenner earlier in the show. He is preparing for his sex reassignment surgery, according to sources. His son, Brody Jenner, he's just got his own TV show.
Okay.
It's going to be on E. E eventually will only have Jenners and Kardashians on it, right? That's what they're shooting for?
Mm. Yeah, I would think so.
Brody's new show is called Sex with Brody.
Oh. It's a competition show?
Yes, exactly. And the winner gets to stop having sex with him. No, it's going to be a roundtable talk show with Brody Jenner as the leader of the conversation because he is a sex connoisseur. And notorious expert in the dating arena.
Not interested.
He will be joined by relationship therapist, TV personality Mike Dow. Anyone? Ringing a bell? Anybody know Mike Dow?
No.
And comedian Stevie Ryan.
No.
Anything? This will be a show. This is going to happen.
That isn't good for you.
That's bullshit.
Good news in TV is that MTV is bringing back Celebrity Deathmatch. Remember Celebrity Deathmatch? That's when they used to have those claymation fights between pop culture figures. That was a funny show.
Sure. I don't think I ever watched it, but I was aware of it.
Very funny show. Yeah. They're bringing it back. It'll be animated, no holds barred fantasy fights between famous figures in entertainment and pop culture. So it'll be fun.
Not interested.
Oh, come on. I did a voice on that show once.
You did?
Yeah.
Who'd you do?
I did Adam West.
Well, sure.
It was Adam West versus Michael Keaton, the Battle of the Batman.
Who won?
Who do you think? I wouldn't have done it if it had been otherwise. A real quick email before I get a celebrity birthday. It's talking about drinking. I did too much of that in Vegas.
Sweet.
You know, you sit down at a blackjack table and say, all right, I'm going to play a couple hands and I'm going to go to bed. I'll be in bed by midnight.
And you guessed like 12, 13 minutes?
Right.
Yeah.
3 o'clock in the morning.
Wow.
About 5 martinis in. I was
faded. Were you up or down?
I was up. I walked away about $800 at the blackjack table.
Wow.
It was one of my best all-time blackjack. That's why I kept sitting
there. It's easy
there.
To stay there.
If you're winning, you don't want to walk away.
Yeah.
So 3 o'clock in the morning, I was drunk and up, and I was like, okay, this is the perfect time, because I don't want to be that story. I don't want to be that. And then I'm going to have a beer mug. He did that to us, too. We're getting together for dinner, and I said, he was playing blackjack. I said, beer mug, how you doing? I made $300. I was like, hey, that's great. But then I put it all back. I said, stop saying that. You didn't make $300 then. If you walk away empty-handed, you won nothing, sir. Good day, sir.
His gambling stories are always mid-story.
Right.
He always gives it back.
Yeah, I made $300. But then I get it all back. Anyway, so I made $800 and I didn't give it all back. I walked away. Good for you.
Well done.
One of my all-time bests.
Sweet.
That'll keep you going back and losing for the next 20 times.
Oh, yeah. Vegas could not be happier. Ryan Blake writes us in about drinking. He says, I experienced something this weekend that you'd expect to be common knowledge, but I feel reminded to your fans, maybe in order. Having never drank tequila before, I headed to the store with my buddies Friday night to pick up some for our party. As I considered which to get, I decided on the cheaper Jose Cuervo. Ralph, believe me when I tell you this was the worst hangover of my life, worse than when I drank too much gin. After a lot of research about tequilas, it seems that the consensus is the more expensive tequilas are really better. I guess what I'm saying is make sure you get the pure agave. Make sure you get the pure agave. Make sure you get the pure agave. Make sure you get the pure agave.
Said nobody. Ever.
Come on, Ryan Fantastic. Blake, everybody. Put your hands together. Today's celebrity birthdays. Emma Thompson's 56 years old. Radiohead guitarist Ed O'Brien turns 47. Patrick Carney, 35 years old. Actor Seth Rogen turns 33. Emma Watson's 25. And Macy Williams from Game of Thrones is 18 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take care, Ralph. Tomorrow morning, all new Kevin and Bean Show. We have Dr. Drew on the program. We have comedian Jim Norton on the show. We have Diplo.
Diplo
in the studio.
I love those blocks. My kids got them, and I play with them all the time. They're adorable.
Those are that's Legos. That's Legos. Completely different.
It's Duplo, actually. But
oh, sorry. It was a Duplo.
Thanks for trying to play the game.
And your tickets for weekend 2 of Coachella.